Blog Talk Radio.
I am dominating at my fingertips.
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you know what, Dan? I think I'm going to have to change back to a longer intro because
longer
I'm not ready.
The musical crescendo.
Enough of that, Dan.
I missed it.
We're going to lose.
Everybody just turned it off.
It's done. Thanks. But welcome to another exciting edition of HIAC Talk Radio. I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. I already gave it away. With me, as always, is my co-host. He always has a giggle for some reason as I introduce him, but
it's a nervous hitter.
It is the above-average comedian, Dan Colachico. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing wonderful. You can follow me on Twitter at Danlo83, and every Monday night at 9, Obey the Puck. Follow that Twitter, Obey Puck Show.
Yes.
Right here on the Hell in the Cell Talk Radio Network.
Joining us later will be Omega Squad Chris Green. Right now he's held up at some type of function, a holiday function, if you will, for his shoot job, as they say in the biz, with air quotations.
Air, yes. Shoot job.
Air quotations.
At least you're not doing the air hashtag.
Let's talk about air quotations for a moment, Dan, because I'm sure this is spellbinding entertainment. No, actually, I'm going to talk about what the show is, and then we'll talk about air quotations.
Then we talk about that. Yes, go.
Yes. Tonight on the show, in about 15 minutes, actually 13 minutes from now, we will be joined by the Bulldozer Matt Tremont. And I got a few choice words for him, let me tell you, because he turned his back on the CZW fans, and I want to get to the bottom of that. Exactly what did Drew Blood promise him? We're going to find out, Dan, here tonight. And we're also going to talk about the Carnage Cup win. He was also at IWA Mid-South this past weekend, took on the formidable Corporal Robinson and Ox Harley. I'm going to see his impressions about that. I also want to talk about the Carnage Cup because the first round match he was in, he defeated a man named Tank, and it was a Smash Boom Pow match.
Huh?
I can't make that up, Dan.
Smash Boom Pow.
And then we're going to be joined a little bit later on, 90 minutes away from now. We are going to be joined by the notorious one, Drew Blood, and I have so much to ask him as well because last time he was here, Dan, if you recall, I noticed something at the end of that CZW video package that they put out.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, and I called him on the carpet. Thrice, Dan, thrice, I say. I called him out, and I said, what do you have planned with the Bulldozer? Oh, nothing. I just respect them.
Nothing, bro. We don't got anything going on, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Bro.
I also want to talk to him about that panda suit and that vicious attack he put on Pinky Sanchez. That's going to come up a little bit later on. Of course, that was On Point Wrestling. So we have, and then once Omega Squad joins us, we're going to talk about a very busy and crazy schedule of MMA. I think there were at least 3,000 events this past weekend. Well, there was UFC Fight Night, Legacy 26, Invicta 7. There was a World Series of Fighting. There was Cage Warriors in England.
Jesus.
It was a very...
Yeah, I caught the beginning of one, and I didn't know that. I was like, what the hell is this now? Because it wasn't UFC or any of the other... it was like the indie of indies of UFC or of MMA programs, man. It was just like... it was the production value was real low, and I can't. It was out of a casino, and I'm pretty sure it was Revel. Maybe it was the World Series of Fighting.
If it was the Revel, yeah, it was the NBC Sports, whatever their new network is.
I believe so.
It's so insignificant, I don't even know what it's called. But the World Series of Fighting actually has a fairly high standards production, Dan.
Oh, it looks it looked like the thunder of the – not that it was, like, bad quality, just that they didn't pay attention as much.
Well, of course they don't. I mean, UFC is big enough to have their own in-house production.
Yeah, but
these are just guys along the Jersey Shore that happen to have a camera. and they
like indie wrestling sometimes.
Well, that's how you became floor manager, Dan. Yeah. Let's be honest.
I got a camera.
I know somebody who can run a camera.
I know how to hold my pants up and do it at the same time too.
Dan, you always have to go there.
Yeah,
but you know what I want to talk about, Dan? I want
the
to
air
talk...
quotations?
No. I want to talk about the sillies that are currently going on because it's gotten quite a response so far.
I heard.
Oh, wow. That's pretty neat. I didn't realize when you type in Google, the sillies are right there, Dan. Right there for you. Now,
there's actually getting quite a response, a lot of hits on this. A lot of votes. Getting close stuff.
I'll tell you what, Dan. Now, there's only one category for this fine program. Everything else, the rest of the 11 categories deal with MMA, independent wrestling, mainstream wrestling, that sort of thing. But
that's probably the way to go.
If you stroll that, well, it's. I mean, whose ego are you fluffing? If you have awards for your own podcast, that's just
kind
of silly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who's the best co-host? Well, there's one.
Yeah, so I don't believe in that, but whatever. But I'm looking right now at our thing right here. It's HIAC Talk Radio Interview of the Year. That's the only one that is sufficient for us. Now, Chrissy Rare jumped ahead with her great interview. She talked about her relationship with Sammy Callahan. Of course, he's singing the songs of Solomon now down in Florida. He made his debut. Did you see that, Dan?
No.
Well, he made his debut, and... God
NXT?
Knows. Yes. Okay. Yes, he did make his debut in NXT. But she dished with us, if you will. She was very, very far ahead. The Reverend Bob Levy finally took note of this and said he should be ahead, and he has now climbed ahead, has 50% of the votes to Chrissy's 33.7%.
Which makes me proud that someone like Bob Levy was like, no, I want to win. Screw you guys.
Exactly.
You know, I'm like, all right.
I hope he realizes he's getting a phone call on Christmas if he does win.
That's all he gets. Well, you know, his last name's Levy. I don't think Christmas is a problem.
Well, that's true, Dan. I didn't think of it that way. Actually, he's probably having fun right now lighting the menorah. Or is that over with?
That's over.
It started, what is it, 8 crazy nights?
Started on Thanksgiving.
8 crazy nights.
8 crazy nights. He's
already
got his 15 dreidels and chocolate wrapped in gold.
Oh, man, that chocolate is so scrumptious. If you've ever been at a Jewish holiday party.
If you like to eat chocolate, it tastes like it was rubbed inside of
when
a bubble.
When I was in the Tiger Cubs.
Oh, God.
Yes, when I was in the Tiger Cubs.
The other Tiger Cubs?
Yes. When I was in the Tiger Cubs, one of our fellow Tiger Cubs was actually a Jewish lad. And I found this so fascinating because I thought everybody in the world was the same at age 6. I thought everybody – I didn't realize there were other religions, especially growing up in a very strict religious family. So we went over to his house for a Hanukkah extravaganza. And we put together models of X-Wings. True story, Dan.
That sounds like I'd rather do that.
And I spun the dreidel. And I got a bunch of chocolate, and I wore a thing on my head.
See, you know what? I learned more about Hanukkah and the dreidel game first in school before I learned about anything the hell else. Pertaining to the holidays, I knew the song, the game, and everything before anything else.
Mm.
That's funny that you just brought that memory up. I used to know how to play that game.
Now, I'm also looking here, Dan, at the independent match of the year. Now, I'm going to ask you who you voted for in this one. Of course, the choices. This is very difficult. Choices here.
They put me on a spot like this before the show, man.
Adam Cole versus Sami Callihan. Of course, that's from Pro Wrestling Guerrillas. Is Your Body Ready? That was a 60-man, not 60-man, 60-minute Ironman match.
60-man between Adam Cole and Sami Callihan.
Yes. Four Loko, Bandido and Azrael, with, of course, Chrissy Rivera versus the Beaver Boys. That was from CZW New Heights. We also had Scott Summers taking on Chris Dickinson. That was On Point Wrestling, All or Nothing. Tremont against Casey. That was CZW Cerebral.
Eh.
And then Drew Gulak taking on Lince Dorado against Mark Angelo Setti against Shane Strickland. That was Evolve 23, a fatal four-way. Dan, where did your vote go?
Well, you know me well. What do you think my vote went?
I'm thinking Four Loko, Dan.
You're correct.
Yeah, I'm thinking Four Loko.
I'm sorry, and I have since seen, well, I saw Cerebral, and I have since seen the All or Nothing. And I'm sorry, in my opinion, that tag team match was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in a wrestling ring, ever.
Well, period. I feel the same way about Dickinson and Summers, my friend.
I respect that.
I certainly feel the same way about that. But this is what the year, and right now in the lead is, of course, Cole and Callahan, that Iron Man match. And that was an amazing match.
Is that online somewhere?
No.
Mm.
PWG is very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? They
crappy?
No. God, no. They have a very steadfast reign.
Oh, okay. I have a DVD set of theirs you might be interested in. I've seen it. I've watched it. I'm good. What stuff on there. It's just three discs of some of the greatest matches. Chris Hero's on there. Callahan's on there.
Chris Hero, he will be at Cage of Death coming up Saturday.
That I'm looking forward to seeing. Davey Richards, I'm not really looking forward to seeing.
Why? You must be insane.
I'm being sarcastic. I was reading a lot of hate mail about him this weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Mostly from the Ring of Honor side.
Oh, well.
You know, that drunk a-hole, I hope he fails and breaks his neck in the ring. He sucks. Well, no, he doesn't suck.
And then, of course, we have the Independent Wrestler of the Year right now in the lead is Adam Cole. Trima is actually second down.
Hmm.
Yeah, 38.89% for Adam Cole, 19.44% for Matt Trima. And this is a guy who said his 2013 was a bit lackluster. If you talk to Tremont, that's his whole story this year.
He only had one bad month, really.
Quite frankly, yeah, Dan.
Really? That's it? That doesn't make a bad year.
Maybe we should convince him of this fact. Maybe we
should
be like
him.
His therapist here. You really only had a bad month.
Oh, I'm going to tell him. You had a bad month and it was bull crap anyway.
Let's rethink this, man.
Why don't you relax?
Yeah, relax a little bit.
You're not tough.
I took a chair shot, pal.
Yeah, I took a chair shot. I could take it after a day and a half. I could stand again.
And independent promotion of the year right now in the lead is CZW. Pro Wrestling Syndicate in second place, Dan. 17% of the vote for them.
That actually doesn't surprise me so much. What does surprise me is the amount of votes we get on this. I'm very surprised, all the votes that are tallied up and how close some of the polling actually is.
Well, time will tell if the Reverend Bob Levy can hold on to his stranglehold. Yeah, you could say that as well.
I want to know if he eventually left them or stayed.
He's still with them, dude.
He likes the torture. He said it. Just like a...
Maybe I should announce now on January 15th. We will have a night of ultra-violent comedy, and that will be Chrissy Rivera and the Reverend Bob Levy together.
Oh.
At the same time. I'm not sure how that's going to all work out, but
I see a lot of them talking and a lot of us not saying a lot.
Whatever the case is.
That's fine with me. And what I want to know tonight is if Matt Tremont and Drew Blood are such a great team, why are they not on the phone together?
They very well could be on the phone together, Dan. I didn't want it that way. I wanted to talk to them separately. It's like the good cop, bad cop kind of thing. You want to hear the story.
I was wondering if there was a method.
There is a method to this, Dan.
I believe there is. I will follow your lead, sir.
I hope so.
I try.
It makes things so much easier for me.
You talked me down from the ledge on Monday.
There was a ledge?
Yeah, I was on that ledge.
I realized I have no idea.
The obey the putting.
Well, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk to Matt Tremont, and he's here, and he'll be with us right after this, Dan. I should say our guest at this time, Dan. Our guest at this time is, of course, the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Matt, how are you tonight? Actually, I should try to get him on the phone. I forgot
yeah,
that
before
step.
I would say hi and then go, you're on the
I phone. Forgot that step. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Dan, it's good to hear your voices.
It's good to hear your voice as well, Matt. I am a little persnickety with you.
Persnickety.
I'm a little upset. We'll get to that in a little bit later on as we talk about Cage of Death coming up a little bit later on. But what I want to go into first is we haven't talked to you in a little while. The first thing I'm going to talk about is, of course, On Point Wrestling. You took on Joey Janela at the last show, and that gave you the next match. You finally get Eddie Kingston, the last of a dying breed. First of all, the match with Joey Janela, how'd it go, and your thoughts on Eddie Kingston?
Well, as the show title name itself, Fight to Survive, I indeed fought to survive back on November 23rd, and I got the job done. The liaison of the On Point Board, they wanted Janela to take me out, and he couldn't get it done. I was victorious, and now on January 4th, On Point Wrestling goes to Spurt Some More in Sewell, New Jersey. On our one-year anniversary show, as we plan to destroy everything, and I have one of my dream matches against a guy I've looked up to, you know, since I've been young big, and in the last of a dying breed, Eddie Kingston, who's one of the best in the business, and it's a dream match for me on January 4th, and you know, besides training hard for the Cage of Death, you know, I'm looking forward to that one too. I got a lot of big things on the horizon come the new year.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about Kingston here. Anybody who's seen your shoot video that came out with Smart Mark Video knows that Eddie Kingston had a very large impact on your life. Just talk briefly about what Eddie Kingston means to you as a developing wrestler in the ring.
Well, I think, especially when I was on the other side of the guardrail, going to CZW shows growing up, obviously besides Nick Gage, Eddie Kingston was one of those performers and characters inside the ring, you know, that, you know, I became emotionally invested in, and his character and how he, you know, portrayed his character and how his mannerisms and facials and how he worked and how he, his style of cutting promos and just everything about him was raw and real, and I could connect to that instantaneously, and he was one of my favorites from the get-go, and, you know, when I paid my $12 to go see CZW years ago, you know, I always got my money's worth, and when Kingston was on the card, you know, I knew I would, you know, get my $20 worth, and I always look forward to his matches. His matches with Chris Hero and that whole angle they had there for years, you know, came off unreal, and it was something I always enjoyed watching. And on January 4th, to be able to go in there and step in the ring with him and be able to, you know, wrestle, which I don't get to do a lot often, I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, he's the last of a dying breed for a reason. He's one of the best in the business. And January 4th, 2013, can't be circled any bigger on my calendar.
When you going into that match, I mean, are you consciously, you know, going into another gear or approaching it like anything else?
Just like anything else, but I think this is a big opportunity for me, because like I said, I don't get the opportunity to work or wrestle as much as I do, because, you know, hardcore is my bread and butter, and it's, you know, it's what pays the bills, and it's what I get booked for, it's what I'm good at, it's what I excel at. But when I get the opportunity to wrestle with one of the best workers and wrestlers in the business, you know, I have to put my big boy pants on that day and prove to myself, prove to him, and prove to an audience that not only Matt Tremont, you know, he can bleed everywhere he goes, but he can work as well.
When you're going into a match that you're going to work, as you say, versus an ultraviolet kind of thing, can you mentally go to the same place, or do you have to concentrate on not going into the bulldozer so much?
I think it's all the same mentality, because whether it's you know, death match or non-death match, you know, it's still that same zone. It's still me, you know, going through that curtain and becoming the bulldozer. It's not a real different separation in you know, mental capacity, you know, going into a non-death match. It's all pretty much the same for me. And obviously, I'm just not getting hit in the head with shit.
Yeah, nice change.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, talking about getting hit in the head with shit, you won the IWA Deep South Carnage Cup, and I'm going to go round by round with you. Now, the first round was entitled a Smash Boom Pow match. Now, first of all, what the hell is a Smash Boom Pow match?
The title of the match itself is more of a tribute to J.C. Bailey. Bam was always like his credible trademark. So the match is always kind of like a tribute to the late, great J.C. Bailey. Otherwise, it's just, I mean, it's exactly what it says, Smash Pow Bam. You're getting hit. It's kind of like when, you know, when Batman would punch a guy and all those things would pop up when he would punch somebody and get hit with something. Just a lot of... a lot of weapons, and you're getting hit with a lot of stuff. But the first round, I was able to go against a ring veteran and a guy named Tank, wrestled for NWA Wildside for a long time. So I was well aware of his credentials going into that match, and I looked forward to it a lot. And there was another guy I watched growing up, because Wildside used to come on TV 48 years ago at, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I used to stay up and record them shows. So I was well aware of Tank, so I really look forward to to that one and being able to step in there and, you know, and be victorious over him. It was pretty cool and another, you know, notch on my belt.
All right. Now, the second round was a broken glass, thumbtacks, and Lego. Now, if broken glass and thumbtacks wasn't enough, we had to throw in the Legos. And you took on Scotty, and you took on Scotty Danger. How did that go?
A lot of people got hurt in the first night. Carnage Cup is notoriously known as one of the most dangerous and sickest deathmatch tournaments, and a few individuals got hurt on night one, so my second-round opponent changed quite a few times throughout the course of day two. I wound up facing, I think it's Scotty Danger or Ganger. I'm not sure what his name exactly was, but that kept changing as well because people didn't know his name. But and that was his first, besides his first round match he had with Mathis, that, you know, it was really popping the cherry death matches was with me. Broken glass, thumbtacks, and like I said, those goddamn Legos, they hurt. But he held his own. You know, I was victorious because I wasn't going to let anybody stop me on my path to get to the finals and win the thing overall.
Matt, is there really a difference physically between getting slammed on some thumbtacks and Lego or getting slammed on some Legos?
It all hurts. It's all dangerous. It's all things a normal human being doesn't do on a Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Well, the thing to me, when I heard a Lego match, of course, the first time I heard of this was with Addie Starr. She enjoys the Lego matches. Now, when I was thinking in my head, I thought people were constructing Legos in the ring, kind of like an arm wrestling match, but instead of the arm wrestling, I thought they were constructing different city montages, but perhaps not. Now, the final match was a no-ropes...
building competition?
Well, yeah, Lego building competition. That's what I thought. I was like, what the hell's going on?
Next to come in the Lincoln Log Death match. I hope that happens sometime in the future.
Yes. Now, the final was a no ropes, barbed wire, bricks, and light tubes. It was a four-way elimination. You came out on top. You win the Carnage Cup. You also happen to use a weed whacker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was the Ken Brown and myself, Ron Mathis, who's one of my Cage of Death partners, J.D. Hall from California from Next Pro, and Brian Woods. And it was definitely a sick final. A lot of barbed wire, a lot of bricks, a lot of light tubes, and of course, like you said, the weed whacker. That was the first time I came encounter with a weed whacker. I didn't get hit with it, but unfortunately, I had to do what I had to do to get the job done, to get the trophy. So J.D. Hall wound up taste, feels like, from the bulldozer. But he's a sick SOB, and I still couldn't keep him down after that to get the 1-2-3. So I hit him with the weed whacker. He winds up trying to escape from me, climbs up the balcony. I chase him, and we wind up coming off the top of the balcony. I give him the Death Valley Driver, as I did the DJ a year prior in last year's cage, through tables and light tubes, 1-2-3, and I wound up capturing my second Deathmatch tournament trophy. So it was all in all, it was an awesome weekend, and another trophy under my belt, and out of the major four Deathmatch tournaments that are in the United States, I got two of them now, I got two more to go.
Matt, I'm gonna word this next question like this, and obviously we don't have to tell anybody the hell you've put yourself through in your years in wrestling, but you're doing this Deathmatch tournament. You're doing your fifth match, and it's like the third iteration of a hardcore match. Does it even matter at that point when you're going into the ring?
Through the course of 2 days, you take so much punishment and physical and mental anguish and torment you put your body through. But you have to keep going through it, and you have to endure as much as you can. In order to come home with the trophy. And, like I said, I put out a video 2 weeks prior. I was making the 15-hour trip, driving from New Jersey all the way to, Tullahoma, Tennessee, and I was going to win it for Mama Bulldozer, and then that's just what I did.
Was Mama Bulldozer proud of the trophy?
She's not a fan of what her son does on the weekends, but she was very happy. She was very happy. I gave her a nice little shout out, but it was pretty cool.
I still don't know how you do it, Matt. I don't know.
So we got you got the trophy under your belt. Then this past weekend you were back. It was IWA Mid-South this time. You were involved in a three-way, Corporal Robinson and Ox Harley. You came out victorious yet again.
Yeah, Mid-South is always fun. I always think all the IWA affiliate promotions are always a home away from home for me. They've treated me very well. The IWA East Coast Master of Pain last year, and Ian Rotten and Mid-South have always supported me. And, when they run, Tremont's always there. And going down there is always exciting because I was always a Mid-South fan and an Ian Rotten fan growing up. And I always enjoyed going down there. And they have a very passionate and loyal fan base. And when I went down there on Friday, there was probably only about 5 to 6 inches of snow and a sheet of ice already on the ground. And they had a stack card. And since IWA's been back, the previous two shows, they drew 500 people plus. And it's a shame that due to the storm, they weren't able to draw as much. But about 100 people still came out and dealt with the storm and still supported IWA last Friday and came out to see a hell of a show. They had Chris Hero on the card, Ricochet, John Gresham, and then myself. and Oxon and Quibble Robinson, two guys that are, you know, IWA mainstays, went out there and killed each other with light tubes, and in the end, they'll be victorious once again. So the last month and a half, I've been in a roll. I feel like I've got my feet wet. You know, after a long year of trials and tribulations, as I like to say, the end of the year has actually turned out pretty well, and I'm looking for, you know, hopefully look forward to keep that momentum going into the cage and going into the new year.
Matt, we brought this up a little bit earlier with the talk about the Sellies. You keep saying you have a down year. I think you're out of your mind, and I mean that with all due respect. Because except for maybe 2 or 3 weeks where you weren't really sure what the deal was, you've had a pretty awesome effing year, dude.
Yeah, I mean, besides, you know, I look at the year and it was definitely a learning experience. And with all that went down, I took it all in. And after a while, I told myself not to get down, and I just, you know, took with what I had and still always gave them 110%. But besides, you know, whatever, you know, went down with CZW this year, I still had the opportunity to, you know, debut for a lot of top companies this year. I made my way out to AIW for Cleveland, and they're really one of the top feds out there today. You know, Interspecies Wrestling, and, you know, Drake Younger and Necro told me, you know, you make it in this business kid when somebody else flies you out on your own dime. And I had the opportunity to fly a lot of places this year and make money doing what I love to do, and not a lot of people can say that.
No, Matt, not even the CZW stuff. You're still one of the tops in the games. I mean, I think you're being, and this is a shoot here. I really think you're being a little harder on yourself with having the bad year, man. I think you're being a little rough on yourself physically and mentally. I think you're doing fine.
I agree at times. I definitely think I was at times because last year I was standing on top of the cage of death and I had a lot of momentum. And then the company and its fan base seemed to forget about me throughout the year. I mean, I said it a few times, I was never content when I became complacent. And the fans knew I became complacent, but they still supported and cheered me. But it never was the same. I don't know what happened, because I continued, whatever CZW gave me, I went out there and did what I did. But at the end of this year, I had to take things in a matter in my own hands so I could get myself into the cage of death. With some help of the mastermind himself, Drew Bled.
Well, there we go. Drew Bled, Age of Death. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
First thing I want to say, still talking about IWA Mid-South, we're gonna move on to Cage of Death in just a minute, but IWA Mid-South, now, the promoter there is Ian Rotten. This is a guy that you watched in ECW years ago as a kid, really, through videotape, through the show that was on at the time. What's it like? At this point, he's like one of your bosses, so to say.
I you know, growing up watching hardcore wrestling, I mean, if people don't recognize what Ian and Axel did in 95, and their summer series of matches they had, the barbed wire bat matches, the concrete death match, they innovated a lot of stuff in the early ECW days. And, you know, it locked my eyes on it, what they did. And I was always an Ian fan. And people can say what they want about Ian and Mid-South and, you know, sometimes his business practices. But, you know, Ian and I, every time I've always been out there, they've always taken care of me. Like I said, I always enjoy going out there and busting my ass for Ian. It's another guy I watched. You know, and last year I was able to work Ian quite a few times. And, you know, those are memories I'll always have, and they mean something to me. And, you know, IWA, you know, they've been going strong for a long time. And I always enjoy going out there. And, you know, Ian Rotten's doing a lot, man. People say what you want, but, you know, I call Ian a friend. He's the boss, you know, and I've always looked up to him and always will. And, you know, I like I said, no matter what people say about IWA, they will. But when IWA runs, especially the Midwest area, it's important. And, you know, everybody's going to flock to a show and go see it because they know IWA, you're going to get your money's worth, and they're going to put on a product in the show that you're going to enjoy.
I couldn't agree more. Now we're going to change gears. I want to talk first of all, I want to talk about last year's Cage of Death. You were in there. You beat the boss, DJ Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
That was the pinnacle of your career at that time. Just describe the feeling of winning the main event in the Cage of Death, what that meant to you as an individual at that time, 4 years in the business.
I mean, kids have a lot of dreams, goals, and aspirations, you know, growing up. You know, they want to play baseball, and they want to, you know, hit the home run in the World Series. Well, when I was 15, I wanted to brutally, you know, put my body through physical, you know, torment and perform in front of the most sadistic structure in the business called the Cage of Death. You know, I might have a couple of screws loose, but it's what I wanted to do. And last year, I got that opportunity. I earned that opportunity just like everything else I've always earned them. And to be able to go in there last year, main event, the spectacle that is Cage of Death, the biggest independent show of the year, you know, it was a dream come true. And, you know, after you know, a year and a half program, myself and DJ Hot, it was the ultimate payoff, and the fans got what they wanted, and we gave them a crazy cage last year. It was a lot of fun, and we beat the piss out of each other. And the Cage of Death was, you know, it's the construction of destruction and a lot of other names, and it definitely lives up to its hype every year. And last year was a lot of fun, and a year and a program and a match, you know, and an event that I'll never forget.
Now, shifting gears, this year, we go into Cage of Death. You're one of the most hated individuals on that roster. You turned your back on the fans of CZW, and you joined up with the notorious one, Drew Blood, the master manipulator. Why, Matt? Why did you do it?
If there's anything that people need to know about 2013 and CZW, Drew Blood's the smartest man in the business. He's been putting this thing together since day one. He was a referee. Came back. Had to pay his dues all over again after a company that forgot about him. Well, he was a performer and a wrestler. He came back on his own this time and has done things all, you know, on his views and his basis. And he's been able to bring Mondo and Mathis into the fold, into his mastermind plan to take out Devin Moore, Danny Havoc, and Lucky. Ultimately, you know, see the demise of the nation. You know, guys that were my friends that forgot about me during hard times in and out of the ring. And I know that Vince knew how to do what I had to do, and I blessed Danny Havoc with that chair with a lot of intent and with a lot of purpose. And it was a plan in the making, and when everything came to fruition, and when the night was all said and done, I think the plan paid off well, because in the end, Drew Blood, months and months ago, said, I see what you're going through, I see how this company's handling you, what they've done to you this year, these people forgot about you, et cetera, et cetera. But he's like, I can give you one thing, and if you want to take matters into your own hands, follow the light. And I did. And at the end of the tunnel was a main event inside the Cage of Death, and I'm there now, and this Saturday night, seven men enter. And only one team's going to win, and that's the Forgotten Ones. And we won't be forgotten anymore come Saturday.
Now, earlier in this very interview, you said the fans were behind you the entire time. They had your back, even though you were complacent, even though that you were having, in your mind, a bad year. Mm-hmm. So why turn your back on them? You called out not only the Nation of Intoxication, you called out the fans. Damn it, tell me why you did it. Why'd you turn your back on the fans?
It is a hard situation because since my inception into the company, I hopped that very guardrail where those people sit. I sat in the south side corner for many years watching shows, and I came from the people when I made my debut. But unlike those drunken zombies that sit on their hands each month, you know, I made the transition because I didn't want to be just a fan anymore. I knew I could be the athlete and have the mental and physical capacity to become a professional wrestler. And that's what I did when I hopped the guardrail and made the transition from just being a peasant fan to a combat zone superstar. And I did say they have always supported me, but at the end of the day, I always did things for them. And doing things for them, look where it got me. It got me nowhere. When I killed myself month in and month out for those people in this company, it got me nowhere this year. So now I'm going to do things for Matt Tremont. And I'm doing that. This Drew Blood, he made me see the light, and he told me, look, why are you doing these things to yourself for these people? Do it for yourself. Do it for the money. Do it where it means purpose and have cause and reason behind it. So now I'm doing things for the bulldozer, and I think things, as far as CZW goes, anywhere else I go, You know, there's a lot of, I said it in my promo going out to IWA Mid-South. I was looking forward to perform in front of an appreciative fan base that respects what I do month in and month out, unlike the CZW fans, because it looks like they didn't love me too much, but it looks like they hated me pretty quick at Night of Infamy. So I guess I got the job done, and those people can stick it at the end of the day. And quite frankly, as far as the Combat Zone fan base goes, I could really care less. I'm doing things for me now.
Oh, that's
Havoc Moore, Nation of Intoxication, they're no slouches. Did you ever think that maybe you and Drew and the rest of your team maybe bitten off more than they can chew?
Willie Mondo, Ron Mathis, Drew Blood, they're entering the cage of death for the very first time. But if they needed that last piece of the puzzle to go into the cage knowing they're going to be confident, and what better puzzle piece than me? Because not to blow smoke up my ass, but if there was any person that's the most violent and sadistic in this business today, and I think I can say this now, it's me. I know Danny Havoc and Devin Moore. Hell, he's the Iron Man out of the Cage of Death. He's been the sole survivor many times in previous CODs. Lucky's been there too, so they do have the experience edge on their side, but they don't have the bulldozer.
Now, I mean, you're friends with these guys. I mean, or at least you were until you turned your back on them and attacked them with chair. I mean, what's going on here?
Well,
I mean, what happens after Cage of Death? You gonna go have a beer with Devin?
They've been my friends, you know, since day one. If there's two guys that, you know, has always looked out for me and been there since day one, that have even helped me get my job in the company, it was Devin Moore and Danny Havoc. But sometimes, you know, over the course of a year and a half, you know, and that Tremont comes in and takes the world by storm and gets opportunities other people doesn't get, sometimes that, you know, that may get other people's skin and might change, you know, change friendships, change relationships. So I guess, you know, their eyes on that Tremont might have changed, and, you know, you don't see them as much anymore, you know. They have their clique, you know. They invite me to be the third man to have a beer with them after a while. But at the end of the day, there's always that third man, and that third man's name was Drew Blood. He's always had my back since day one. And if you're in a little shoot, sometimes, you know, sometimes things get hard outside of the room in life, and you need a place to stay, and you need a couch. Drew Blood was there for me. Drew Blood's been there for me more than anybody, and that's a shoot. Not only in the ring, but outside of it. He's had my back, you know, since day one. So I told him, if all things come to fruition and this plan turns out the way it's going to be, I got your back inside the Cage of Death, because he's got it out for Devin Moore, and I have a lot of unfinished business come this Saturday. And quite frankly, I'm going to step into their business as they step into my world, which is the Cage of Death, and it's going to be quite an ultra-violent affair on Saturday night.
Okay, I'm convinced with the Cage of Death. I'm going to move on. I want to figure out something. What happens, win or lose, going forward, what happens to the Bulldozer in CZW? Where do you go from here?
I will say this. We've been training like animals. He's had me out in the snow like Rocky and Mickey. I've been chasing chickens. It's been hell the last 2 days, so if our training and preparation doesn't pay off on Saturday night, I don't know what's going to happen. But as far as going into the new year, you know, Cage of Death is going to cap off 2013, hopefully on a good note, which I know it will, because I think we are more than well prepared for what carnage and chaos is going to ensue on Saturday. But my goal is going into 2014. You know, I've always given 110%, and whatever this company has always asked of me, I've always done, and, you know, given my all. And I just want to continue to do better at my craft, continue to do what I do month in and month out, and hopefully those opportunities still come. I've never politicked or kissed anybody's ass or asked for anything since day one, since I've been here. I've always earned everything I've had. I feel like sometimes I was one of those last guys that came into the company, you know, that earned their spot and paid their dues. And, you know, I think you can ask the boys in the locker room and they'll say the same sentiments. So 2014 is going to be a different year, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to work with a lot of different guys and hope the opportunities are there. And whatever they give me, I'm, you know, I was given a ball last year and never dropped it. So I'm going to pick that ball up in my own now, and I'm going to run all the way to the end zone.
Now, my final question, Matt. Before Cage of Death, 4 p.m., there's going to be a Q&A. I want to know how much are you looking forward to interacting with some of the intellectual geniuses that go to the CZW show?
It's going to be hit or miss. It's going to be an interesting afternoon. If you've already paid and reserved your ticket for the event of the year called the Cage of Death, you're going to get in at 4 o'clock and you're going to be able to ask us whatever you want. So by all means, ask whatever you want. But please, I hope the questions are somewhat on an intellectual basis. And, you know, they keep it blunt and they keep it frank. And let's not keep this thing going all day, because quite frankly, 7 men have to get mentally prepared to beat the ever-living shit out of each other just mere hours later after all this. So, I mean, take some notes. I hope you have, you know, bring a notepad and be prepared. Just come in here and bring this thing. You know, we're taking our time out to have a Q&A with you, with the drunken zombies they are. So I hope they're sobered up and, you know, they're ready to ask us some intellectual questions on somewhat of a relative smart basis. And don't go in there and just ask us how, you know, hey, why is it called the Cage of Death? I mean, because, you know, to me that's a pretty dumb question. Sharpen the number 2 pencils, bring your fucking recorders, and you know, try to make a you know, an intellectual afternoon out of it, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
I have heard Captain Dave has been preparing his thesis. This is the moment that Captain Dave has been waiting for, and it's all at Cage of Death.
He's going to bring his own table, a laptop, and a word processor.
I cannot say enough about the great Captain Dave and his journalistic. he's one of the best in the business. If people, if these fans need to take after someone, it's Captain Dave. And, you know, at least Captain Dave, at least, like you said, he'll have a table, he'll have a pen and a pad. At least he's fucking prepared, for Christ's sakes.
That's true.
He's going to have an abacus as well. I don't know why he's going to have an abacus, but Matt.
Hey, Matt, I have a question.
But, Matt, I think we've covered all the bases. Cage of Death, your final thoughts as you prepare to take on the Nation of Intoxication this Saturday night.
On an already set card that has a hero returning, an American Wolf coming in, goddamn freight trains coming in, the Cage of Death card is stacked. And on top of all that, the night is capped off and will be all said and done with the main event. And the main event's the money match. It's the draw, and that's the Cage of Death. When 7 men enter, and, well, one team will survive, and that's the Forgotten Ones. And we will give you your money's worth, and you will see there's been a lot of Cage of Deaths, and this is the 15-year anniversary of the Cage of Death. A lot of history and a lot of lineage behind this match. A lot of men have come into this match and not have come out the same, and have put their bodies on the line for the entertainment of those drunken zombies on the other side of the guardrail called the CZW fans. But they will get their money's worth, and we will kill ourselves for their ultra-violent enjoyment this Saturday night, and we will live at the Skate Zone and live for everyone across the world to watch on CZWIPayPerView.com. It is Cage of Death fucking 15. I'm pumped. The Forgotten Ones are pumped. Come Saturday night, we will be not forgotten anymore.
All right, you can follow Matt at TremontZZW on Twitter. Matt, thank you so much for your time. It's going to be quite the event, and I mean the whole card, top to bottom. There's not a bad match on there, but thank you for your time. I can't wait to see you on Saturday night.
Thank you, fellas. Choo-choo, freight train's coming.
That's right. Matt Tremont always delivers the goods.
You know, I thought he'd hold back this time.
I love Matt so much. You know what?
That's a shoot there.
The most fun I had this year was calling a match with Matt at On Point Wrestling. We called the four-way. What a time, really. The bulldozer of credibility is what I called it. And apparently the reviews have went well. Certain officials in On Point Wrestling listened to it, and for now my job is secure.
That's good.
Yes. So.
And when he says, you know, I don't want to blow smoke up my ass, and the whole time I'm going, you know, you can't say enough. You really can't say enough about that guy.
You really can't. But my goodness, it's time. You know, I have a caller here.
Oh no.
And I believe I know who it is. And he didn't indicate he wanted to speak, but I'm putting him on anyway. Is this who I think it is?
Yo, what's up, guys?
It's a voice from Christmas past. It is the American Roughneck. How are you, Roughneck?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding. How are you?
I miss you so.
How could you not?
Dean, what's going on, brother? I just want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. You're one of the best talk shows I've ever been on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Roughneck. I certainly do. Well, do you have any good news for us? Do you have a scoop about maybe when New Moon Rising Wrestling's returning?
No.
You know what? Again, I'm not that high up in the company.
Oh, I hate you so much. I hate you so much.
I just want to say hi. Bye.
You know what? You have some type of business on the side now. You make parachute ropes or something. Tell us a little bit about that.
Paracord.
I see different pictures. Okay.
They are paracord survival bracelets.
Survival
with style.
What can you do with those cords?
Crashes, you pull the cord.
Well, let's see. If you go camping, you can use them to fix up anything you need that you need, like cord. You can start making a tent. You can – it's all sorts of stuff you can do with them. You can fish. You can do anything.
Fish?
You hit people
with
them.
Yeah, actually, if you believe it or not, since you want to get into that – there's actually 16 to 25 feet worth of paracord in each bracelet.
Now, but if you were to use the paracord as a survival technique, wouldn't you be ruining the bracelet aspect of it? Seems
but
like a
that's
waste
the whole
thing.
Idea. It's just the survival aspect packed into an easy way to carry it. And quite stylish at that, because it can be completely customized to your liking. In almost any color, especially red and black, you know, New Moon colors, Hell in a Cell colors. You know, I don't know how that ever happened, but it did.
We color coordinated, yeah. Color coordinated. But, Roughneck, it's actually a pleasure somewhat to listen to you tonight. I certainly do miss the New Moon third Saturdays, and I hope we get some news soon.
That makes two of us. I miss the people. I miss coming out. It's been a long couple of months, but we are definitely on the track to returning shortly.
It's almost been 3-4 months already.
Okay, are you taking your shoes off then?
It sounded like it, but
no, I was thinking, I was putting numbers together, and it really hurts when I do that.
I thought you were bending over to untie your shoes.
While I have you here, what was your moment in 2013, your personal moment? Was it coming out during the Sideshow show? Was it your match against Beverly Berwick? Was it the match you had, that barn burner, at the last show with Johnny McClain? Please let me know what your moment of 2000 – was it the match – that the critics are still talking about with Jimmy Lyon. I want to know.
And you hate me.
Can I tell you one of my favorite Roughneck moments?
Go ahead, and then I want to hear from Roughneck.
It was when he, you know, that really skinny guy with the bad pants that doesn't wrestle there anymore?
Yes.
Yeah, when he almost hit him in the head with the bat, that was one of my favorite moments because he is
got...
because he's got reflexes like Batman for a guy his size. I mean, he barely heard it coming, and I was so close to the ring, I felt the wind pass off that bat, and it literally, it passed over him like the first bullet during the JFK assassination. It was that close.
I'll tell you what, I did hear that thing go by.
Oh, my God.
The second thing you should have heard was a loud pop. And I believe that was my ass slamming shut.
Oh, my God. I mean, it literally went past his head.
Oh, man. So what was your moment, Roughneck? If you could encapsulate a moment, as Brady Hicks would say, what was the moment that you would encapsulate?
Thanks so much.
Out of everything that we've done, everything that I've done, you know what, there's so many moments. It's just, I don't know. They're all special. You know, like I said, it's just, I miss doing it. I miss being there. I don't know.
Well, damn it. I wanted an answer. You know what? Think about it. Think about it. Tell Harry on Saturday because he'll be back. Tell Harry.
Do I
got
to talk to him on Saturday?
I won't be here.
You don't have to talk to Harry. I can tell him to shut up if you like.
Oh, my God. I got to listen to him. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, left-handed writing. Blah, blah, blah. I have a PS4. Blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, enough with the Harry love fest. Roughneck, I got to let you go. We got to move on here. We got a packed show here, so... It was great hearing from you. I saw the number and I was like, wow, hey, that's Fat Nick.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on again. Happy holidays. And I guess I might talk to you Saturday.
Not me. You'll talk to Harry and Dan.
You'll talk to me, sir.
Oh, well, I can deal with that. All right.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Talk to you later, Fat Nick.
All right. See you.
It's Roughneck.
That, of course, was the American Fatneck, and you might be questioning why I still have his theme music in there, but I do. I do.
Parachute chords.
I have no idea, but on that note, Dan, I think it's time for a little Mystery Men, as we have to recharge. We have to take a moment before we introduce our MMA and wrestling analyst, and I'm not doing it yet.
No, he's a good friend, but we're going to make him wait another minute.
That we are, and we're going to condense everything that happened this weekend into 30 minutes or less, just like Domino's.
Hey.
But it's a Mystery Men. Keep my heat on.
Countrymen on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. That was Keep My Heat On from the album that I can't pronounce, which you can buy for $9 at lucha-rock.com. My friend and a friend to us all has finally joined us on the show. Chris, are you there? No, he's not. He's dead.
He looks like he's there. He has a look.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, okay, there I am. That's great. I was perfect, no problem. And then go to Chris, and it's like watching Taylor Bouquet.
This is what I get for coming in late.
Yeah, anyway, a friend of us all, Chris, is here. Where can they find you, Chris?
Follow me on Twitter. I don't make a squad.
Hey, Chris. It's time.
It's time.
Now, Chris, over this past weekend, I believe there were, I said earlier, at least 3,000 different events.
Oh, at least four.
Good gracious. There was so much, even on the regionals. There's just so much going on. First thing I want to talk about is the Ryan Hollis fight. We had him last week. We were talking about Legacy 26 with him. I thought a somewhat controversial decision. It was a close fight. I'm not going to be all up in arms in it. There was a timing issue. 40 seconds was lost to both fighters. How do you see that fight?
Well, I thought Ryan won. I thought he did more in the first couple rounds. But it was a close fight. And it was, the timing issue was there. You know, really can't say anything about that. I mean, Texas Commission didn't do their job. Timekeeper didn't do his job. That's unfortunate, but it could have gone either way.
They didn't even give us the 10 seconds, though. They did the slapping of the stick against the cage.
No, they did.
But they did, and then it was only like 6 seconds, and then they called. They were like, oh, crap, I'm so far
off. Oh, wait, okay. No, I didn't realize it was only 6 seconds. I remembered hearing it, but it was like,
crazy.
Okay.
And you could tell Shavilla wanted to say something. He's like, end of the round. You could tell
like,
he was like...
End of the round?
Yeah, I don't know. It was... It's so unfortunate. The kid just has such bad luck. I really like Ryan Hollis. I think he has talent. He just needs something to get over that hump he's currently on.
He's tough as nails for certain. He's got to figure a way to finish these fights and not make them close. I don't know if he needs more of a stand-up game, if that's really what his weakness is.
He's good on the – I mean, how active was he on the ground?
Yeah, he's absolutely active on the ground. He's throwing up those lanky legs. He's trying to get submissions, but, I mean, it's hard on off your back. He's still a young guy. He can still improve, so I hope he does. It's unfortunate, but, I mean, it's we've talked about it before. If you don't want to lose these close fights, don't leave it in the hands of the judges, and that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, I really like the kid, and I certainly think if he gets – because he still hasn't had a full training camp since his last win, actually, for Legacy, and that was the Banana Man fight. So I just hopefully he can get a full camp, he can get the training, and he can get what he needs to get done. But let's move on. Other action, Invicta. I want to talk about Invicta a little bit. I know you watched it. It's out there free for people. Apparently there were technical difficulties. Go to the Invicta YouTube, and you can see the whole 4 hours for free. So that's exciting. But what can people look forward to there?
Well, I think there is a few things on there. I think the one thing, the match that stood out the most to me was Tisha Torres versus Felice Herrig. Felice Herrig is a somewhat touted kickboxer. She's more known for her looks and her ability to market herself with her creative costumes, but she is a good fighter. Tisha Torres, who was 3-0 coming into this fight, just dominated that fight. Came out, looked strong, looked fast, looked like a contender. Really, 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 really put the hurt to Herrig and didn't let her get anything going. Torres won the decision, and she looked really good doing it. So she does look like a contender at strawweight. And then the 135, the Bantamweight Championship in Invicta, which was Lauren Murphy versus Miriam Nakamoto, ended with an injury to Miriam Nakamoto in the beginning of the fourth round, but actually got hurt in the third round when Lauren Murphy managed to take Nakamoto down, just basically blew her knee out, wouldn't support her. That she answered the bell in the fourth round was brave, but I think she was done. She basically came out for about 20 seconds and then just stepped back and her knee just gave out, and that was the end of that fight. Nakamoto looked really good up to that point, though. Really, really looked like a decent contender, but she is 37 and has had a long kickboxing Muay Thai career. Hard to say if she comes back from that. She's looking probably like an ACL or something like that. She's probably out for a year rehabbing that. So that's unfortunate. And then Barb Honchak easily defended her title in the final frame. So it was a good technical fight. I mean, if you missed it, it's not the end of the world, but it was a good fight. If you like the technical ground game, she maintains her Invicta fighting championship at 125. So,
alrighty.
But that's an interesting thing. Now, Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought when we were sparring.
The one thing about, I mean, we talked about Tisha Torres. We talked about Carla Esparza, who was the 115-pound champion in Invicta, was supposed to fight Claudia Galdahada in a title fight. That got scratched when Galdahada went to the hospital after the weigh-ins. So that fight was entirely scratched. So the 115-pound Invicta division was kind of up in the air until about a few hours ago.
Yes, and that's where I was going. We were actually on the same wavelength.
There we go.
Tough 20.
Wow.
Is going to be, now that's the Ultimate Fighter 20. It's an all-women's cast, and they're going to crown the first UFC strawweight champion, and they signed the Invicta strawweights. Are my sources correct?
It's pretty much all the Invicta strawweights at this point, yeah. Certainly, they picked up pretty much all the important contracts. They picked up Carla Esparza, who was their champion. They picked up the number one contender, who was Claudia Galdahada. And then Felice Herrig, Beck Hyatt, Tisha Torres, who I just talked about. Joanne Calderwood, who's another one that was on the Invicta card, looks really strong. And a bunch of other people coming from Pat Barry's girlfriend, Rose Namajunas, for example. A bunch of other fights, 11 fighters coming from straight from Invicta. They're going to fill in the rest of the cast with tryouts. So who knows who might come over from there. Certainly there's fighters in Japan that may want to come over and take a shot at it. There's probably going to be fighters who move up or down in weight class to try to get on top.
Yeah.
From there.
Yeah.
So,
well, so what's straw weight? That's 115?
115, yes.
Wow. So that's what's Rousey's weight class? That's 135.
135.
Right? So that's 20. That's a hell of a cut if they wanted to drop down. But I'm sure there's a few that are kind of struggling to maintain that weight. So
it's less the people who are coming down from 135. It's the undersized 135ers that probably should be fighting in 25 that might try to drop.
Yeah.
Or you might see some atom weight fighters. Fight
move
up.
Okay,
you know? Now,
yeah.
Whether or not that, I mean, Invicta has a couple of really good atomweight fighters. Certainly, Michelle Waterson, their champion, and Jessica Penne, their former champion at 105. I don't know if they're going to make the move, but you might see some other 105ers, you know, move up to try to get in on tough. So,
well, speaking of women's MMA, I thought an interesting story that came out. Probably more interesting than it actually is in my mind. Holly Holm saying her manager saying that she is ready to take on Rousey, and we talked about this a little bit online. Not quite yet.
No, it's just flat out no.
She may be a boxing. She has to get in the UFC, number one. She's not even there yet. Number two, she hasn't really taken on. I mean, if you saw the last Legacy fight, she outclassed the opponent so greatly that it shouldn't have been called a fight. Now, I respect Mick Maynard. He was on the show, and I respect what he was trying to do. It's obviously hard to find people to fight Holly Holm, especially on the regional level, because people don't want to face a boxing champion. I mean, several-time world champion. So I can understand that. If you saw her fight over this past weekend, because she was another one that fought this weekend, again, it's another so much happened this weekend, but I just can't see her. She has to get in there. She has to fight someone like Kaufman. She has to fight someone with a UFC pedigree at this point. Kat Zagano, Tate, somebody
in the top 10.
She's not even. Yeah, that was your point. She's not even in a consensus top 10 yet.
Yeah, she hasn't fought anybody in the top 10. She hasn't fought anybody even close to top 10 yet. So, you know,
ridiculous.
All claims aside, this is marketing. This is trying to negotiate. This is trying to get a better deal. She really doesn't have any leverage here. I mean, her choices are stay with Legacy at this point or go to UFC because she's got a three-fight contract with Legacy?
Yeah, it was a three-fight contract. And the thing is, her manager was saying she makes more on the regional circuit. More so than she would in UFC, like a new fighter contract in UFC. So it's obviously, I mean, if you're talking about money when you're making these claims, obviously it is a negotiation tool, like you were saying.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, she's got name value on the basis of her ability, her boxing pedigree, and she is a decent looking girl as well. But no, just not in a sport like this. You don't get to come into UFC and demand a title shot. Just ask Ben Askren. So
yeah, there you go.
You know, no, you don't get a title shot right off.
Have fun in Japan.
Yeah, you don't get to come. I mean, no, you need to fight somebody before. At least Ben Askren has fought good fighters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, this he is a consensus top 10 welterweight. That Holm is not there yet. She may be after this last fight, even though, but it, you know, she wanted to buy decision. That's not going to greatly increase her stock. But we don't. She needs to come in and fight someone like Kaufman, like Carmouche or someone like that. Before I'm ready to say, okay, you can have Rousey, and there's plenty of fights for Rousey before Holm.
Definitely. Definitely. There's so much in line. There's so much more at stake. So let's just throw that one out because that's just ridiculous. Another thing before we move on, World Series of Fighting, was there anything that happened there? I didn't pay attention. There was so much going on.
The only thing I really paid attention to was Nick Newell.
How'd he do?
He won by standing guillotine choke.
How does he do it?
I don't know. He's got one arm.
I know. How does he do it?
I don't understand how he does it. He's got a technique that works for him, and it's worked to great effect. He is undefeated as a mixed martial artist.
Are we going to see him in UFC one day, or is this something that Dana White is going to stay away from?
No, I don't think he. I think this is the type of story that Dana White could promote, and he might end up there, but. I think there is a sense that Newell hasn't fought anyone of note yet. You know, I still think there's a sense that he hasn't fought any real good competition yet. And I think they're hedging their bets right now, waiting for him to fight someone who is either a former UFC or someone who's really on the rise and then see what happens, you know?
Speaking of former UFC, Legacy 26, last thing I want to say about Legacy 26 is Leonard Garcia won their 145 title. So that's interesting. A lot of people are saying maybe he punched his ticket back in, another person going to Legacy, going back to UFC, possibly. I guess we'll find out about that. Did you see the Garcia fight?
I did not, no.
He was impressive. He was impressive. It was a TKO win. Certainly he looks... he looks ready to go. And the whole thing was, when he got cut from USC, it was simply on the strength, not that he's not an exciting fighter, because he is.
Oh, and absolutely.
He's a very good fighter, too. I mean, when you think of Leonard Garcia, you think of the sixth fight of the Knights, and you think of how exciting he is. So possibly with this three wins in a row plus a regional championship, maybe another maybe another vacancy for Mick Maynard to fill there.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't think there's a lot of interest there, but you never know.
You know what? They want exciting fighters. Obviously, if you look at some of the people that were cut this year from USC, it's based on the fact that they aren't exciting fighters. The John Fitches and the Yushin Akamis of the world is what I'm saying. So
sure.
You never know. You never know. Maybe they're looking for – because to hook the casual fan, you need those knockouts. You need those great fights. You need the great fights like we saw in the main event, my friend. And, of course, we're talking about UFC Fight Night Hunt versus Bigfoot. Now, that main event, I know you're going to disagree with me, but listen to my claim fully before you start disagreeing.
Okay.
For a five-round heavyweight fight, it was one of the greatest.
I will say one of the greatest.
I'm willing to cede
one of the greatest. I'm not going to go so far as to say the greatest.
It's very difficult. I mean, the reason I think it was such a great fight is because both guys gave their all. This wasn't a drudging, like the Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos number two, the second fight in their series. This was back and forth, two guys, and deservedly so. At first, I was upset with the fact it was a majority draw. But when you look back, what's a better ending to that fight than a majority draw? And, of course, the way it became a majority draw, one judge saw it 48-47 for Hunt. That's how I saw it, but again, and the other two judges saw it 47-47, hence the majority draw.
It was one 10-8 round in there.
Yeah. Mark Hunt winning the last round on those two judges' cards, 10-8. So that's interesting to see. You don't see majority draws. You don't see draws, period, too often.
I think I saw a stat that said of all the decisions in the UFC's history, 0.6% have been draws.
Exactly. It's a rarity. It certainly was somewhat shocking. I mean, if you look at the stats from Fight Metric, I don't have them up handy right now, but if you look at the significant strikes, and this fight, it became more brutal as it went on. It wasn't like these guys went out there swinging for the fences early on, and I think a lot of people weren't even scoring it because you weren't expecting it to go five rounds. It's crazy, these guys. Neither of them.
It shouldn't have gone five rounds. You know, on paper, this has all the makings of a quick fight. It has.
I think you said it was first round.
The power of Mark Hunt should have knocked Bigfoot out.
Easily.
Or Bigfoot should have got Mark Hunt down on the ground and submitted him.
Neither happened.
And neither happened. It was ridiculous. To your point, that these guys just were raining bombs almost the entire fight.
In that last round, it was just such a drubbing. Mark Hunt really was going for the knockout. I get it.
I don't understand how Bigfoot was still standing. We've seen fights before where big guys have been getting nailed and destroyed. In Junior Dos Santos in the last fight with Cain Velasquez, the only thing holding him up was the cage. Bigfoot wasn't even on the cage. I still don't understand how he was on it.
Still coming forward, still fighting, putting on a hell of a show. Say what you want. I know you're not impressed with either of these guys, really. Silva, that's kind of like your punching bag, so to say, on the show. You really don't like Bigfoot all that much, but these guys really, I think at least they'll be sticking around for a while, especially on the strength of that fight.
Oh, they've punched their ticket, certainly for the next couple fights. Hunt is pretty much Hunt can fight anybody he wants at this point, other than the champion. If they need someone to put on a card, main event a card, just to have an exciting fight, they'll just call it Mark Hunt. You know, Silva's a little bit different case. certainly he's tough at this
point. Did he drop in the rankings? He was number four going in. Did he drop or hold steady?
I don't think so. I haven't looked, but I don't think either of these guys dropped. I mean, Hunt actually rejoined the top 10, I believe.
God bless him. It's such a resurgence for him too. I mean, he was in Pride for a little while. He kind of had a down career. He was on the downturn, and then he really turned it up this past couple. But a great fight.
Yeah, the USC rankings. Bigfoot stayed at four, which okay.
Well, it's
Hunt,
a weak division. So.
Hunt, who was unranked before this fight, is now eight ahead of Frank Mir and Stipe Miocic.
I can see that, though. I can absolutely see that.
I can see it, too.
Now, before we move on to our next interview, Shogun Hua showing that he still has something there. I think it was kind of dumb to Huna going for an uppercut, leaving himself wide open for a counter, and down he goes 103 in the first round. So what does this say for Hua? Always an up-and-down career in the UFC. I guess the retirement talks are over for now. But
yeah, it's hard for me to say that he should retire. Certainly on the strength of that win with a KO, you can't knock somebody out in a minute. Okay, we'll not say you have to retire right away. But you know, does this do anything to change his position? He's certainly he raised up in the rankings in the light heavyweight rankings. He's up to number six now. I don't know if I buy it. I really don't. I think.
Well, who's he above?
He is above Dan Anderson,
Chael
Sonnen, and he's in light heavyweight. He's above Dan Anderson, Chael Sonnen, Musasi, and Machida.
The only one that I could say, well, Machida's now
a middleweight now. So that's yeah.
But the only one is Musasi that I think would give him from those guys. I think. I really think Dan Henderson's on the tailspin at this point.
Yeah,
and
so too.
Unfortunately, as much as I like him, I just can't see Henderson coming back from that loss. I'm not saying retire. He still has probably a few fights left, but enough of that. But I think that ranking's fair.
At number six, I mean, I think it's
well, you have two guys that are,
okay.
I mean, light heavy. I don't even know what Chael Sonnen is anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, it's a thin division. I mean, I mean, if you look at we talked about some of these divisions being thin. You know, light heavyweight. You're looking at the big three. You're looking at John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson, and Glover Teixeira, and everyone else is pretty much interchangeable. Because then it comes Rashad Evans, Phil Davis, and Little Nog.
Yeah.
You know, and then I say, well, there's not really a huge gap between them and Shogun and Dan Henderson and Gegard Mousasi.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so.
So, Pat Barry. Knocked out again.
Poor Pat. Yeah, that was bad. That was a bad fight for Pat Barry.
Sal Palelli, of course, knocking him out. 2:09 into the first. Where does Pat go from here, Pat?
He might be in World Series of Fighting, if I had to guess.
I really think that could be a distinct possibility.
I think Pat is probably done in the UFC. I mean, he might be able to get by in one more fight on the strength of his KO wins, but he's lost three out of his last four. He's lost, you know, five out of his last seven. It, you know, he just doesn't win that often.
No.
When he wins, it's in spectacular fashion. But
why is he still a heavyweight? Why hasn't he dropped down to a light heavyweight, perhaps? I mean, maybe he's challenging himself. Ryan Hollis said it very succinctly, I think, one of his status updates. He's like, you know, I lose, but I'm challenging myself with some of the best fighters. That's how he put the Cejudo fight over in his mind. So maybe that's what it is. You know, you're consistently challenging yourself, and for him, he shouldn't be a heavyweight. He's undersized.
He's undersized heavyweight for certain. I think he could make a 205. If Cormier can make 205, I think he can.
Oh, definitely.
So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, it may just probably if he may just like his ice cream. That was Brandon Zvera's excuse for so long. You know,
it could be.
So
very well could be. Look, if Roy Nelson was seriously considering a drop down to light heavyweight, I think anyone could.
Yeah,
consider it. We also have Bader putting a drubbing on Piroshka. The hometown guy didn't do too well.
No, that was
a drubbing.
That was a drubbing. That was decimation. That was just bad. All the way around. I mean, they lost. When you get score, I mean, you got at least a 10-8 round, but some of the medias were making it like 30-25, 30-24.
Yeah.
Some crazy numbers. I mean, Parosh just didn't have anything for Bader. Bader was just destroying him in every sense of the word.
Anything else on the card that you think would be? I know the Nam Phan fight was probably going to be fight of the night until Hunt and Silva had their saying things.
Yeah, it probably was. It was a decent fight. Phan is, I don't know what the deal with Phan is. He's another guy I think is probably not long for the UFC world. But it was a decent fight. I think the one thing I would say is Julie Kedley lost that close fight to
Beth
Correa, and then she retired after that. Yeah. Which is both unfortunate and I'm
good
okay
fight,
with it.
Though.
Good fight though. It was a good fight. I thought Kedzie won, but so it's unfortunate she retires on that note. But I think she has a career, an opening in certainly being a commentator, probably being a coach. She's a better commentator than when she's on Invicta. She's a really good commentator and really good interviewer. Certainly better than Miesha Tate was.
Yeah.
This weekend, I thought Tate was awful. I didn't get all the praise for it, but I think Tate's a good coach and a good fighter, but I don't think she's a good talker. Let's put it that way.
She's pretty.
Yeah, but Kedzie, I think is good at that role. I would like to see her move into UFC and start commentating on some of the women's fights, or start being on like UFC Tonight as their women's expert. I think they should consider it. But I think she's got a career in broadcasting or coaching. So she's certainly a pioneer in women's MMA, been there for over a decade. So, you know, she had that fight with Carano way back when. She was the first women's televised fight. So
yeah.
She's certainly part of women's MMA history.
And on a down note, Shane Del Rosario has passed away. What was the ailment? I know something was going on for a little while. There was little brain activity.
He had catastrophic cardiac arrest.
Good gracious.
So was he
training when this happened, or it was?
I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of details.
Yeah, me neither. That's fine.
On the individual stuff, but we know he was in a car accident about a year ago. I don't know if it's related, but in any case, it's unfortunate that a guy, an athlete, dies at 30.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. You know, and certainly it's a shame. I'm pretty sure he has a family of some sort. I don't know if he has kids or not, but to have a guy at 30, we talk about this in pro wrestling all the time. Just to have a guy that young just drop dead is sad and ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely some bad news there in the world of MMA.
There's got to be a correlation between the beating his body, and I'm talking about his head, took to the correlation him dying so young. I mean, there doesn't have to be, but you would think there has to be.
Well, I don't know. I mean, why would it? He died of cardiac arrest. Why would?
Oh, we'll see in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
You're typically.
There's got to be a correlation between the MMA fighting, unless there was obviously something that was undetected physically wrong with him, that it was just a time bomb waiting to go off.
So, look, I mean, these are human beings. They are statistically likely to get diseases the rest of us. It's we can't really say for sure that it has that there's something to do with fighting, because we fights happen all the time and guys don't just drop dead all the time. But that being said, we've seen guys like the skyscraper, Stefan Struve, who had had heart problems. Dan Hardy had heart problems. So you may be right. There may be something there.
No, probably not.
If it's the training or the supplements, I don't know. But I hesitate to jump to conclusions. Let's put it that way.
What do I know?
And last thing, very briefly, George St. Pierre, there will be a press conference. People are speculating he is retiring. What do you think very quickly on that? Of course, it's just a rumor at this point.
I don't know. It sounds like much to do about. When I first heard about it, I thought, well, maybe he's just going to vacate the belt. I didn't think retirement. But the more I hear about it, the more it sounds like it's
an autograph signing.
Yeah, and there's much to do about nothing at this point. Is really what I get from it. So, if something major happens coming out of Friday, I'll be shocked.
And we're going to briefly talk about, because our next guest is here, that notorious one, True Blood. I'm going to give him an earful. But we'll talk about this coming weekend. Of course, there's a title fight coming up. We'll talk all about that after our interview, and we'll talk about, actually, TLC and John Cena giving a good promo, I thought. Promo of 2013 for WWE, easily. But here's a guy who lives and breathes promos, can give a promo in his sleep. It's the notorious one, Drew Blood, and he'll be with us right after this. Guest at this time, it's that notorious one, the master manipulator, the guy who put it all together, Drew Blood. How are you doing tonight, Drew?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing? I was about to cancel this interview because I don't know how the hell I'm going to follow American Roughneck, dude. How the hell you put him on before me, dude? There's no way I can follow an interview like that.
I'm sure if you just give it about 4 seconds, you could do fine.
Yeah, I just lost 4 seconds of my life listening to that.
He's a lovable little.
Aye.
He's like the Christmas elf that everyone loves. Elf on a shelf. That's American Roughneck in a.
Elf on the shelf.
That's just creepy, guys.
Isn't it? Now, Drew.
Like your elf.
Before we move on to Cage of Death, I do want to talk about you're such a manipulator. I think you just hide in the shadows and giggle at your own plots and schemes. Now, at On Point Wrestling, the last show, you're out there in a panda suit in this grand scheme. You hug Captain
What I do on Saturday nights is none of your goddamn business.
That's true. But you're hugging Captain Dave. You're in the panda suit.
He was giving me some googly eyes, dude. I think I found a new friend.
You liked hugging Captain Dave, didn't you?
He likes furries. But more so to the point, you trick Pinky Sanchez, think that the panda's on his side, and then you brutally attack him. And that moves on to destroy everything coming up on January
4th. I'm giving that guy credit. Tricking Pinky Sanchez is not a task. All you got to do is give him a piece of paper and a pencil, and he's distracted.
That is true.
By the way, you just stopped Roughneck.
Yeah, you've already topped Refneck. Now, July 4th, you have Pinky Sanchez for the last time. We're finally going to put this to, what are you going to do to Pinky?
Look, I don't know what Pinky's mindset is for, you know, January 4th at one point, but, you know, he better bring his A game because I'm taking it back to 2009. You know, he just better he has no idea what is in store for him. I'm getting sick and tired of this guy. You know, he's not taking things seriously, in my opinion, and he better think, you know, he's got a rough one coming to him because we have a hell of a card for On Point, and we have to we've been the main stage of On Point for, you know, since the inception of the shows, so we gotta step our game up to you know, make even a credible feat to keep up with the rest of the card. So I'm bringing my A game. I don't know about Pinky Sanchez, but and if he doesn't, and I really feel bad for him.
Yeah, but I mean that is really something too. That you touched upon in your answer there. It has been On Point Wrestling. If you go back to all the shows, the one thing that has always been there has been you and Pinky, and finally it comes to an end. So this is really big. Now let's go back to that match, the Best Around, their first match back on the Indies together. They took on highly entertaining wrestlers. Now, what did you think of that match? How did you guys because you didn't come out victorious, but there was some trouble. There was some outside interference. What did you think of the match, though, with the Best Around?
I've had my history at the Best Around, and they're great competitors in this business. One of the best tag teams that I've ever the pleasure of wrestling. And for their first time tagging back in, you know, quite a few years, it's like they never missed a beat. I myself was very happy with the match, and like I said, it's always a pleasure wrestling them guys. I was very, very impressed with my tag team partner, Xavier Cross. He stepped his game up, and he proved to a lot of people that, in my opinion, that he can go, and he's going to be a prime player in this business in the years to come.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder on that one. I was going to ask you, No, that's okay. It's you're allowed. You're bigger than me. We'll debate that later. I think Xavier Cross. Well, first of all, I think you're one of the more underrated guys on the independent circuit. But I think Xavier Cross is one of the most underrated guys on the circuit. Do you think?
Absolutely.
Only tagging with him will help his cause as far as making it?
Me tagging with him, it really has nothing to do with Xavier's talent in itself. It's just like, in my opinion, it gives him the edge of getting more noticed, especially with the opportunity of working, bigger names in this business, you know what I mean, more credible talent, and, you know, when it comes to tag team wrestling, and so far we've met with some challenges, and he's been, you know, I've been giving him A pluses all across the board. He's been doing nothing but delivering every time, and he's nothing but impressed my part, and it has nothing to do with me helping him out. He's been doing it on his own, you know, carrying his end of the deal. You know, he's been carrying his own weight and then some.
Do you feel that the time that you had to take off, that maybe your game had dropped off a little bit, or was it like putting on another pair of shoes?
I've questioned my game a little bit, but, you know, it's not that I'm also getting older, guys, you know. But
What are you, 28?
Come on, man. Stop it. What are you trying to pick me up here?
not any more than I was the other night.
I'm going to deal with you. We'll go out to a nice dinner, Dan, okay?
Okay, all right. You're buying.
Bring the pants.
I'll put it out on the first date.
That's okay. Yeah, you know, we'll make things happen. We'll take it in steps.
I'll wear the panda suit.
What the hell was the question?
I don't remember.
He was asking me out.
That's what it seems like.
I wasn't asking him out. I was asking did
Master manipulator.
Yeah, really. We'll get into that later. I will rephrase the question. Did you get a lot of slack when you came back that you had lost your step from other people, or did you feel at all that you had lost a step?
I didn't get a lot of slack from other people. I feel that, you know, I could be a little more crisp in the ring. You know, I could be a little more quicker because I did drop a few pounds. I think mentally wise, and you know, when it comes to smarts, and I think that's been playing a key part in my return. You know, I've chosen to be a little bit more smarter this time around because you know, towards the end of my career, last time I had a almost a career threatening injury we've talked about
Many
times, and with not being fear of taking risks, just being smarter about taking risks is a key factor. I'm not back. I didn't come back to put myself over. I wanted to help the younger guys, like and Xavier and Tremont are two of my good friends, and they're the guys that I've been willing and without a question would put, you know, my body on the line to help elevate their careers. You know, Matty doesn't need my help these days anymore.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the top indie guys out there right now.
Now, going along with that, a question that I heard you answer last night was some of the who are some of the guys that you see on a regular basis, some of the young talent out there that you think have that it factor?
Well, right now, Oz Tyler has been nothing but impressive as of late, these on-point shows. And to me, the if factor isn't just talent based on itself. It's the way they carry themselves in the locker room, the way they carry themselves around veterans of this business, and how they don't let, you know, certain assholes in this business, you know, walk all over them, you know. Very humble, you know. Oz Tyler is a well-rounded individual in this business. He opens his ears, he shuts his mouth, and he takes every piece of advice like a sponge. You know, he's a very humble kid. There's this kid that I worked in Reading, Matt McIntosh. He's only been in the business 2 years, and I was extremely impressed with his ethic and his work rate. Nicholas Kay, part of the front. He's another kid. I think his underrated talent needs exposure. You know, he's a well-rounded individual. He can work.
He had a great match at the last on-point show. Yeah, the last on-point show.
Yeah.
He was very impressive.
Yes, he was. he could have had some of his stuff showcased. Well, I think he was held back a little bit, but that's another situation in itself. But Mike Drastic and his tag team partner, Tito Ortiz, we haven't seen them tag yet in on-point wrestling, but their tag team abilities surpass, in my opinion, some of the better tag teams that are in the business right now. We haven't even been blessed to see them tag yet in on-point.
Yeah, I have seen them work in other companies, but I certainly agree with you. I've seen them. They have that the chemistry that a lot of teams sometimes miss. Yeah. Now, moving on, Cage of Death, you have put together quite the team. You've gotten some frustrated young men together, it seems.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've promised a few to...
Testosterone-filled young men ready to explode and kick some motherfucking ass.
But you've gotten these guys, promised them different things. For Rory Mondo, it was you're going to give them Danny Havoc. For Ron Mathis, you're going to book them on the show. What did you promise?
My promise was to these guys was to give them the grandest stage of all in CZW. Give them the opportunity that the company has neglected them. You know, CZW hasn't been the best company to, you know, let's say, pay attention to the younger talent, and they just, like, you know, overshadow them and just look past them and focus on, you know, other things, like themselves. But these guys have been clawing and fighting, you know, throughout the last year, and they've gone unnoticed. And the main one of all, Matt Tremont, last year was the top star of CZW. And what happened to Master Cage's death? What happened? You didn't hear nothing. His 2013, it's like they put him in the basement and forgot all about him. You know, the guy was the savior of the company last year. He beat up DJ Hyde. He did things that nobody wanted to do, and that was take out the boss. Now, of course, it was more on a personal level with him and DJ, but Matt Tremont delivered what he promised to do, and that's take out the Larry DJ Hyde. And the crowd is nothing but, you know, marks for the bulldozer. They forgot about him, too.
Aren't you a little worried that all this frustration and pent-up hostility might work against your team in the cage?
Explain to me how that'll work against me, Dan.
Frustration has worked against me many times. Getting too frustrated and losing focus on the task.
You have guys like Danny Havoc and Devin Moore. Close friends of Matt Tremont. Well, Matt Tremont hasn't had the best year. You know, he hasn't had the support. And them two guys were supposedly his best friends. Like, Devin Moore was my best friend. But when I was down in the dumps, I didn't see no support from them guys. They were too worried about partying. Now, I took something that me and Tremont have in common and grouped it together and made him see the light.
Yes. He saw the light,
now,
Dan.
I have his back. He has my back. In and outside this business.
I mean,
and I promised him one thing. I promised him the chance, the spotlight, to prove what CZW and the CZW crowd has been neglecting the whole 2013. And now, it's just a different aspect for Matt Tremont. You were looking at the babyface hero. I'm exposing the evil side of Matt Tremont. The side that nobody wanted to see, and the side that Matt Tremont did not want to expose, but he had to get this recognition. And I'm sorry, and I'm going to apologize, and I'm not going to apologize for what he's going to unleash at Cage of Death this Saturday.
It's all yours, Dan.
No, that was the question.
Listen, 1,000 words, guys, and what he's going to unleash and what my team is going to unleash on the Nation of Intoxication is going to be only an example to what lies ahead in 2014 for the Combat Zone.
All right, I'll ask you the same thing I asked Matt. Do you think maybe you bit off more than you can chew against the Nation of Intoxication?
I can never bite off more than I can chew. It's all about mind games. You know, and you guys got to remember, it's 4-on-3, gentlemen. It's 4-on-3. Mm-hmm. The numbers are stacked against them.
It's a numbers game.
I have Ron Mathis, who has nothing but points to prove. He wants a spot in the Combat Zone. The only way to get spots in the Combat Zone is to prove that you can hang with the big boys. You can hang with the top deathmatch guys. And what better way to do that than the grandest stage of all, Cage of Death? Now, Rory Mondo, he just lost his goddamn mind. He's my only setback. He's the only one I'm worried about because, to me, he's about to explode and probably might unload on anybody. He might, you know, accidentally, you know, take a couple of his teammates out. But I got steps, and I've already mapped that out to avoid situations like that for a Saturday coming. Matt Tremont's story, so he's getting ready to prove. And me, I just have a point to prove, too. It's my comeback to the Combat Zone, and I want to prove that I am still a key factor in this company.
What does your room look like? Do you have all these, like, graphs and all these plans drawn up of different scenarios that might happen? Because it seems that you're so Machiavellian in your plotting.
Well, I mean, if I exposed all my secrets to you, then what would be the point of that?
Is it that, or he's got a guilty conscience? He has to plan everything out like that.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you're out to prove. I mean, you're upset with Devin, but what did Danny and 13 do to you? I get the Devin thing. Collateral damage. Yeah, what did Danny do to you?
Well, Danny didn't do nothing to me personally, but why not? He's on their team.
Dean, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs, I guess.
Innocent bystanders get hurt all the time.
That's very true.
It's true.
Lucky 13, he's just there. You know, you're in my path, man.
You're bringing a storm.
Cage it at 15th anniversary.
Yes.
My team has a lot to prove. You know, we're going to prove why we shouldn't be forgotten. I'm going to let actions speak, you know, for themselves. I just hope these guys are going to be there to witness the massacre of the Nation of Intoxication.
Now, have you seen the cage yet? Do you know what it looks like this time out?
I've gotten some photos or some blueprints handed off to me secretively because they're trying to keep this cage of death a little secret. That's the only thing that might play in a factor against our team, but I doubt it because I got my hand on some of the blueprints. So there's some interesting construction going on here. It's going to be probably one of the most deadliest cage of deaths I've ever seen.
Every time you come on, you're talking about blueprints. You talked about blueprints for Tangled Web. You talked about every time I've talked to you, you got blueprints. I swear to God, I'm going to see your room one day, and it's going to look like Lee Harvey Oswald. You're going to have maps and X's with the book depository. It's terrible.
I got men on the grassy knoll.
Yes, you do, and his name's Trima, and he's bringing a world of pain for the Nation of Intoxication. This is not going to be for the faint of heart.
No. It's going to be a violent – it's not going to be a wrestling match, cage of death never is, but it's going to be one of the most violent cage of deaths that, in my opinion, to date.
And that's saying something because last year was very violent.
Well, you know, and that was a good-hearted Matt Tremont. Can you imagine what a not-so-good-hearted Matt Tremont will be capable of?
That's very true. Now – before we get to your final thoughts heading into Cage of Death.
We're frying up the one he just caught.
You had to go there. You had to throw me off. Now, before we talk about your final thoughts of Cage of Death, I want to bring up a question I asked Matt earlier. Now, before Cage of Death, at 4 o'clock, if you already got your tickets from czwrestling.com, there's a Q&A for the fans. Now, what do you think is more for the faint of heart? I mean, what do you think is worse? Do you think getting inside that cage of death, or do you think looking at those brain-dead mouth breathers asking you questions? What do you think's worse, cage of death or those mouth breathers?
I have a lot more important things to do the day of cage of death than doing this Q&A thing. But if the combat zone feels that, it's a good thing to have the fans interact with the guys on the show, then so be it. But don't let these assholes get out of line with one question because I will end the interview right then and there. I have no time for these morons.
Neither do I.
Hey, Drew, what does the mat feel like?
They don't know good wrestling if it slapped them in the face with a hot waffle iron.
And that could happen at CZW.
Day of Cage of Death is an unpredictable day. I have a lot to prepare for here. I got three of the most blood hungry animals to get prepared mentally. Well, I don't really need to prepare Matt Tremont mentally because he's already got his game face on. I've talked to him quite a few times throughout the week, and he's got his focus set.
Did you share the blueprints with Matt?
Well, possibly. Of course I did. What kind of question is that? See, this is dumb-ass questions that I'm talking about. These dumb-ass questions that I'm asking stupid-ass questions like that. Oh.
I'm
I love you, Dan. I love you. I'm sorry. I love you.
Fluffy, man.
I didn't mean to lash out. Yeah, that's not right. I shouldn't lash out you like that.
I laughed so hard I can't see anything in front of me.
Okay, now, your final thoughts. You have Tremont catching chickens.
I got a meeting thunder and crap and lightning.
What's your final thoughts heading into, since your comeback as an active member of the CZW roster, since your comeback, this is the most important match you've had.
Yeah,
what are your final thoughts heading into it?
My first cage of death. And like I said, in the prior interview, I never thought I would have the opportunity to grace my presence in the demonic structure of Cage of Death. So it's a good opportunity for me. It's the WrestleMania of the Indies, in my opinion.
Oh, the card is amazing.
Yeah.
And like I said, the card for this Saturday is, bar none, probably one of the best Cage of Death cards I've ever seen. That's a shoot. DJ has gone far and beyond expectations to make this the best Cage of Death possible. And we have some big shoes to fill to make this a memorable Cage of Death. But there's a lot of talent on that show that have a lot to prove, too. So if the fans miss out on this Cage of Death, then they're their asses for missing out on something. I think it's going to be a special show. It's going to be one that remembered.
Certainly. I do have one last question. This came from Twitter. It came from On Point Ross, and it has nothing to do with Cage of Death. But he wanted to know your thoughts on $5 wrestling and how is it helping or hurting the business. So that's a question for you from On Point Ross.
Man, that's a touchy subject in my opinion. It has its funny aspects to this business. It's funny, yes, but is it going too far? In my opinion, absolutely. One of these guys could actually get hurt really bad. After I thought about it and I watched it, it's really not right in my mind what those guys are doing.
You can obviously
tell some of these guys on the roster are not fully there in their heads, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a good idea. It's a good idea, but it's in my opinion, it's not really as funny as it is once you think about it.
So you would think something like $5 wrestling kind of hurts more than helps?
Oh no! It's going to hurt the guys that are on the shows. These guys are not trained in any sense. That's the thing. It's like they're not properly prepared. One of these guys are actually going to get hurt, and these guys ain't going to realize how serious it is until something like that happens. That's all I'm saying.
I got you. And I certainly respect your opinion, and I'm sure On Point Ross does as well. But Drew, I want to thank you for your time here tonight. You have a huge match, and I didn't even realize it was your first. Yeah, I didn't even realize it was your first Cage of Death.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, congratulations on that. You've had a hell of a comeback for the active roster. I mean, when you think about the things that you've accomplished, and your year was kind of up and down, working for different companies and different stupid things that happened, and I'm not getting into that. That's not my intention here. But
oh, yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
But just stupid things that have happened and this and that, and now your main eventing. I mean, when you really think about it, your main eventing, the biggest indie card of the year, it's an amazing comeback you've had, and I'm happy that I know you, and just good luck and be safe.
Hey, man, like I said before, meeting these guys was a great honor this year. These guys are stand-up guys. I've always enjoyed coming on your show. And I always, I value your opinions deeply, especially the ones that we agree on, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. most certainly in that respect. But, Drew, thank you.
Yes,
I'll see you
Peter,
on
No ordering eye pay-per-views this month. Your ass better be in someone else's seat.
I will be there. I should be there by 4 p.m. I'll have my pad. I'll have my pad. I'll have my paper. I'll have my recorder. I'm going to have my stenographer there. I can't wait.
Oh, shit. We're going to be held up in a court of law. Oh, boy.
Oh, it probably will be. Yeah, I was talking to Matt last night. It really depends how I want to take the Q&A. If I take it as a serious thing or if I start seeing it going the way that I think it will, I may have a...
This is such a bad idea.
I may have a it's still real to me moment with Matt.
Matt, when you're so real to me, damn it.
I might have that moment with Matt. You never know.
When you took DJ through those pains of life, it really got to him. I mean, with you there.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I love you.
This is, oh, man.
This
could
go really good, or this could go really bad.
I have to be there just to see this collection of...
I'm actually interested to see what the fans have to ask me. I really am.
When you take barbed wire to your head, does it really hurt?
I just want to see Hogan ask a few questions.
Is that real blood?
No, it's fake and it doesn't hurt. This is actually a trampoline, you jackass.
Oh, my goodness.
My name's David Copperfield.
But I will certainly be there. I'll see you at 4 o'clock. I can't wait for this Q&A. It's going to be the most...
I will also be filming my shoot interview, gentlemen.
Oh, you're doing that? You're doing the backstage thing with RF Video?
Oh, yes.
Awesome. That's good to know.
I'm pretty sure you guys are interested in what I have to say.
Oh. You know, if the question comes to other companies you worked in 2013... I would hate to see what comes out.
Actually, I would love to see what comes out.
Well, be that as it may, true, it's always a pleasure. I'll see you on Saturday, okay?
Gentlemen, you enjoy the night. Thanks again, and I hope to see you there Saturday. It's one show you guys do not want to miss.
That's right. CZW is presenting one hell of a card, and we're going to talk about it right now. That is, of course, taking place Saturday, 7:30 p.m. is the advertised bell time, but let's be serious, it's going to be closer to 8. Now, we are going to, it's at the Flyer Skate Zone, Voorhees, New Jersey.
It'll end around midnight.
The Cage of Death, the main event. We've talked to two men that are part of that, part of the Forgotten Ones. It's a Nation of Intoxication. It's Devin Moore. It's Danny Havoc. It's Lucky 13. They are taking on Drew Blood, Matt Tremont, Ron Mathis, and Roy Mondo. Dan, how do you see it?
You know what? How can I not pick the team of Tremont and Blood?
It's a numbers game.
But it's not even about that. You know, I asked the question about frustration, but I really don't think seeing anything getting in these guys' way, getting in these guys' way, and them just dominating this match.
That's for sure. I got to agree with you. I go with the Forgotten Ones with the victory. CZW World Heavyweight Championship. It is Drew Gulak, the reigning champion since defeating Masada so many months ago, taking on Chris Hero, returning to CZW. Dan, how do you see that one?
I was actually thinking about this match. I'm going to go with, since I'm on the record, I'm going to go with Chris Hero. He might be on a roll after coming off getting let go, and I don't mean that in a negative way, from the WWE. I think he's just going to be on fire, and I think he's going to surprise Gulak tomorrow, and he's going to, on Saturday, and he's going to take the title.
Very well could be, but I got to go with the man who is trying to make the Combat Zone a better place. I'm going with Drew Gulak. CZW Wired Championship, the reigning champion Alex Colon taking on the new flavor, Shane Strickland. Swerve Shane Strickland. Dan, how do you see that one?
I'm going with Strickland. He's due.
I got to agree with you.
He's due. He's on fire, and he's just one of those guys when he comes out to the ring on the shows. Every time I'm like, he just topped what he did last month. I can't believe that.
And one of the matches that maybe a majority of the people didn't have a chance to see this year was Shane. I saw a lot of Shane Strickland matches this year, different promotions. He's worked for – we've crossed paths a lot, Shane Strickland and I. There was a Riot Pro match that he had with David Starr, and we'll talk about David Starr in just a moment. But the last On Point show, Shane Strickland and Oz Tyler had one hell of a match. That was an amazing match for both people involved. And I just see the momentum going with Strickland. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a new Wired champion that night. Next match, Dan, interesting one. CZW World Tag Team Championship. It is the Blackout, the reigning champions, of course, with Robbie Marino, taking on the Juicy Product, a newer team. But that's JT Dunn and David Starr, the aforementioned David Starr. He is up for the PWI Rookie of the Year, highly touted. It's his first year, and this kid's going to go places. I just don't think it's his time quite yet. I see Blackout defending those titles.
I agree with you. I was going to say the same thing. He might have a great future, but I see veteran. I can't work. I just lost my train of thought. Sorry. I see veterans going over on the newer team here.
That's right. Now, the number one.
Sorry, dude.
No, it's fine. Number one contendership to the CZW World Tag Team Champions. It's one of our and the Sellies Match of the Year contenders. Of course, the first meeting. This is the trilogy will finally be completed. It's the Beaver Boys. That's Johnny Silver and Alex Reynolds taking on Azrael and Bandido with, of course, Chrissy Rivera, who is up for Interview of the Year. Dan, where do you see this one?
Oh, man. You know what? Just because support Bandido, I'm going to go with Bandido and Azrael on this one.
They certainly do look like they are on fire. And I think that to start off January, we're going to have Azrael and Bandido taking on the Blackout for the championships yet again. That's, of course, the first time they won the CZW World Tag Team Championship. It was from Blackout, so I think we're going to see a rematch there.
I didn't see that the first time around. That's a match I'd like to see, actually.
It's on YouTube.
Well, I'll chat this up right now.
Now, this one was just announced this week, Dan. It's the Dirty Daddy. Chris Dickinson, the smart marks love this guy. He's a great guy. I had a conversation with him about anchovies. I'm not sure what that's all about, but he is taking on Davey Richards.
Wow.
Yes, just announced. So Chris Dickinson, Davey Richards. Dan, where do you see that one?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go with Dickinson.
I got to go with you on that one. I'm going to go with you. And I saw Chris Dickinson and Joe Gacy, of course, at the last On Point show. That was my goodness. I can't even talk.
I've seen Dickinson as I get tongue-tied, and it's one of those guys where it's what am I? What's the phrase I'm looking for? There's, I don't want to use the corny more than meets the eye, but he doesn't look like he's going to surprise you, and he does.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Yeah, certainly, a lot to his game, and I just think he's going to put it all together. Now, intergender six-person tag. This one's been brewing for a while, ever since that long segment with the cake and everything. And
I still don't know what happened.
I don't know either. DJ Hyde, there was a cake. He was upset, and it leads to this, Dan. It's Ohio is for Killers. And this is the Christ Brothers and Nevaeh taking on DJ Hyde, Susio. God damn, I can't say his name. And Biff Busick.
Susio?
Yeah, it's like Susudio. I don't know. Susudio. I get so confused.
You made me so happy right now.
So confused.
I'm going to go with...
He's still Niles Young to me, damn it. Anyway, where do you see this one?
Susio. I'm going to go with DJ Hyde's team.
I'm going to go there as well. We're agreeing on a lot here. Then we have a scramble match, Dan. We have A.R. Fox, Andrew Everett, Willie Mack. He is replacing, of course, the injured Caleb Connolly, Latin Dragon, Chuck Taylor, and there's a question mark here, Dan. There will be someone else entered, as if you can't shove in another independent darling. Dan, where do you see this one?
I'm going to go with question mark.
Question mark for the win.
For the win, dang it.
I'm going to go with A.R. Fox because...
I'm not.
Well, he wins all the time.
That's why I'm not. I think they're going to surprise. I think there's going to be a surprise this time.
Greg Excellent will be taking on $5 Wrestling's Freight Train. I don't know. I don't know what to expect out of that one, Dan.
I'm picking Greg Excellent because Greg Excellent...
He put out a promo today where he was studying the freight train. It's
Oh, he saw it! Yes!
It's interesting, to say the least.
The model railroad track.
Studying the freight train.
Oh, God.
Greg Excellent, frankly, never disappoints. Moving right along.
Yes, go ahead. You said all that needs to be said, really.
Yes. Christina Von Erie taking on Kimberly. Wow.
I'm going to go with Kimberly.
I got to disagree with you for once, Dan. It's going to be Christina Von Erie for the win. Now, keep your eye on czwrestling.com as well as all the official CZW social media for more updates.
Especially if there's a riot between that Q&A, which I'm assuming is going to happen.
Oh, that Q&A is going to be amazing.
Seriously, does that barbed wire really hurt? No. Classic.
I can't wait.
God.
I can't wait for that.
God.
So
I
that
am
is
so sorry I'm not going to be there.
That is, of course, Cage of Death. That's coming up Saturday at the Flyers Skate Zone. Now, moving right along, TLC. And I have a few clips, if you will, and I want all of our... all of our analysis for this, because I thought it was a really well-done promo by John Cena. And I know, this is a first. Omega Squad, your thoughts. I'm giving John Cena credit for a promo.
I think the sky is falling. Hell hath frozen over.
But here we go. This is part
one. Wait. Before we start, you know that pretty much means that he's not winning this pay-per-view.
Probably. I have a few theories. We'll talk about all that when we come back. But here's part one of the John Cena promo, of course, from Raw just this past Monday.
I couldn't help but notice you said the word work. Tell these people your name, please.
My name is Daniel Bryan.
We'll get to know you a little bit more. Daniel, where are you from?
I'm from Aberdeen, Washington.
Wherever that is.
Was either your father or your mother a superstar, Hall of Fame, WWE superstar at all? Father or mother, either one.
No, my dad's a log scaler, actually.
What?
So since you've been here, you've had to work for everything you've got.
Yes.
You hear that? The reason they cheer for him is because he works and he earns it. A guy like you has been given every single thing in the WWE.
So, that's where it started. And it only picks up from there. Here's part two, and then we'll get our thoughts on more of this John Cena. And it really picks up some steam here.
I'm about to hit you in the face with some truth. Ever since you came to the WWE Training Center, you were untouchable. You were bulletproof. You couldn't be fired. Nobody could touch Randy Orton because they liked you. And then you get to the WWE, and what happens? You get sheltered by the best performer in the business. Nothing's changed, Randy. All you do is hide behind Triple H. All you do is hide behind Stephanie McMahon. And you got the balls to stand in this ring and say you're better than anybody here? Say you're bigger than all of this? You have always blamed everybody else for your failures. You've pointed fingers and you've made excuses. You've had behavior problems in the ring. You've had behavior problems outside the ring. And the sad thing is, the TLC match this Sunday is the biggest in WWE history. That's why everybody is here tonight. This changes the very course of the WWE. But you want these championships because you're selfish. Because you feel you deserve it. And maybe, just maybe, if you hold on to this, you can finally walk around with the rest of the superstars and say, hey guys, look, I'm finally what I was supposed to be 10 years ago.
Fired up is the term I would use for John Cena here. John Cena, I will give credit where credit is due, when he is certainly to a certain level, I guess you could say, his promos are pretty good. And this one is no exception. I think a little bit of truth was coming out here. Dan, first you, and then Omega, your thoughts on what John Cena was saying here about Orton, his being untouchable, behavior problems.
No, I don't think it was a little bit. I think it was a lot of truth coming out. I mean, of course, we don't. You never know what was script. I'm assuming some of this went over everybody before it was on TV. But if we're going to say that it was, you know, are you saying it's a shoot or that it was just some truth coming out?
I think a work shoot. I think
I think
he said
a
few
shoot.
Things in the moment.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of it that came out that was just the adrenaline rush. The crowd was on fire. He was on fire, and I think a lot of it was said in the heat of the moment. And unfortunately, a lot of it is true. I mean, would Randy Orton be the same if his last name was different?
Very good point.
And I will agree with you. I think, and I saw it a day after, so it lived up to the moment I was watching you tweet Monday. And it lived up to the tweets. I think it was the promo of 2013. And I'm glad you're finally on my side about Cena.
Oh, I'm not on your side about Cena.
Sorry, guy. No. No, I'm kidding.
Not at all. Omega, your thoughts about the first two parts of this promo?
Yeah, Cena's definitely fired up. I don't know why.
Maybe he knows who's going over.
Yeah, I guess.
Chris, before you continue, elaborate a little bit. I was going to – it's a very good point that they know where it's going to go. And, you know, Cena comes out, and whatever your opinion of him is, he's booed and cheered every week. He gets crapped on a lot by wrestling fans, and I think a lot of that was just adrenaline and in the moment. I really think a lot of it was just a lot of stuff coming out in the head.
He could have just been feeding off the crowd. And, you know, I guess it is kind of a big moment, at least in terms of WWE unifying the titles, being like the man, the only man after Sunday. Perhaps that's it. I don't know. You know, it certainly came out. Certainly, that does certainly sound like the most fired up I've heard John Cena in quite a while. But you know, is there truth? There's certainly truth to that. Everybody knows the stories about Orton. But it seemed very good. You know,
my fiance Kelly, who's a co-host on Obey the Puck, the Angry Spatula, was saying if he keeps talking to her that way, he's going to scare him back into the Marines.
Yeah,
I just was laughing so hard at that one.
All right, we're moving on to part three, and this is where Cena sums up his feelings about Orton and the unification match.
Every single time I have held either of these championships, my business card reads the same. You want some? Come get some! And here's the real truth. Whether these guys in the ring like me or not, they respect me because they know it. Whether it's Triple H or it's Shawn Michaels in a WrestleMania match, whether it's Booker T, hell, nobody wanted to give Dolph Ziggler a chance. What did I do? I said, let's fight. Everybody said it was a bad idea to give CM Punk a championship match when he was going to leave the WWE. All I saw was the best in the world. Hell, the only legitimate championship shot Daniel Bryan's ever had was against me, and he won! So I'll say it right here in front of your hometown. If I win on Sunday, I look forward to the rematch. A fair rematch. See, that's what being a champion is all about, a certain level of respect. And last week I wasn't going to take you out, I just wanted to make a statement that when the chips are down, I can be just as brutal as you. So right now, I'm going to make one more statement because I know exactly what this means. This Sunday will be physical. And it will be brutal. And I will be at my very best. I just hope you are too. Because after this Sunday, the last thing anyone is going to want to deal with is just another Randy Orton excuse. Good luck on Sunday. You're going to need it.
So I really do think that Cena is not going to go over in this match based on this promo. A very good promo. Came up with some very good points. I have the aftermath, and I want to discuss the aftermath of this too, not right now, but just really delivered the intensity of the promo going into TLC. Before Monday Night Raw. And I thought Raw as a whole was a very good show. The Slammies and everything else. But going in, I was like, it's TLC. It's, you know, whatever. I think he did what promos are supposed to do, and that is get you to want to see it, get you to want to put the money down and buy it. And he did that very well. So as far as that, excellent promo. Sold an event that I think didn't have much interest. Omega, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can agree with that point. I mean, that certainly sells it for me. I think it's to your point, I wasn't terribly interested in it. I was semi-interested in CM Punk versus The Shield. I was kind of interested in Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatts. The main event didn't interest me at all, other than the fact that it was for the unified titles. And that was the only hook. Cena versus Orton, meh, who cares?
Yeah, you've seen it a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a great promo. I got to wonder how much of that was scripted.
I think a lot of people are.
I mean that is the way he put over Daniel Bryan in that mix.
What I left out was the part previous to that where Triple H was talking, and he said, you can tell that Triple H really doesn't like Daniel Bryan, because I think that was a little bit of the real Triple H, the guy who makes the decisions at this point. He's making more and more each day, and where he said, that's a lot of your family that came here tonight, which is a ridiculous statement, and just frustrates me to no end that Daniel Bryan hasn't gotten his due. But
that was a dickhead thing to say.
Well, I mean, he is a heel, so
I think it was a little bit, but I think that's what started the whole everybody going off script. Triple H went off script. Daniel was just kind of there, like, okay, I already know you don't like me.
Yeah,
you know, and I think maybe John was like, no, it's not going to go down like that. And much respect to him, because John is in the position where he can do that.
Yeah,
we saw what happened with John Cena and Zack Ryder. It was because of John Cena that Zack Ryder got most of his push and opportunity. And Zack Ryder, to a degree as well, with his internet show and everything. But it was mostly the friendship with John Cena that got him over to a certain degree. But, Dan, your thoughts on this part? You had something about the titles, I guess.
Well, and something I haven't heard mentioned before, the reason why I was blowing this off and it wasn't a big deal is because we've unified the titles before.
Well, yeah, but that was 13 years ago or whatever.
Does that make it better? So 13 years ago, we're going to redo it all over again, my point.
Well,
it already happened. We split them apart, and now we're reuniting them again. To me, it's just, you know, well, nobody's talking about how Chris Jericho was the first undisputed champion in the history.
And Chris Jericho is, Dan.
I know that.
He's very upset about it, which, whatever. I
agree with him.
That's your point, though?
Yeah, you don't have to downplay my point just because you don't agree with it.
No, but I'm just saying it doesn't... I mean,
well,
that's
why I wasn't excited. I was like, well, I mean, they're kind of ignoring history, which really, really aggravates me. And the fact that it's Orton is involved even bores me even further, and I was getting around to the point, but yeah, after that, that makes me want to see this. Even though, you know, I don't have anything emotionally invested in either one of the guys, that promo did it for me.
Okay. I just don't get the point of, because they did it before, it doesn't...
They're ignoring history. Why? Like, I don't understand why that's being blown off. Like, hey, well, you know, that never happened. It happened before. They just did it all over. They're doing the same thing all over again.
Well, and quite a different way.
Well, yeah. But would you, I mean, if you disagree, I mean, obviously you're allowed to, but when they did it before, it kind of meant something because it came from another company. They had defeated that company. That company is no longer around. We're going to unify the titles. Now it's just a brand shoot-off. It kind of is less of a meaning to me. This is how I feel.
Fair enough.
I can agree with that to an extent, Dan. I mean, the World Heavyweight Championship has been devalued to the point where it's like, okay, yeah, whatever. Good idea.
Well,
one less champion I have to worry about, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, at this point, thank God I don't have to – there's no two, you know, major titles that you're trying to placate over the other. It's just, this is the one wrestling champion. If you don't have this belt, it doesn't mean anything.
That I can agree with. I'm glad we all came back together.
I love you guys.
And here was the aftermath, and it's kind of hard to, because a lot of action took place, but I want to talk about certain things that happened here. We'll talk about it after this quick clip.
between these two men. One loss over the 11 years between Orton and Cena. So back to Punk had enough, and Punk's going after Orton. And now Triple H involved. Oh no,
it's not
Punk went after Triple H! And a sweet chin music from Michaels! And Daniel Bryan with revenge! Revenge on Michaels! And an RKO went for RKO! And Stephanie knocked down!
Oh man, Triple H! And a pedigree to Orton!
John Cena or Randy Orton. This Sunday we find out, my God. History awaits.
Okay, so a lot's going on there. Basically, you had Orton go after Cena. Then Punk had enough. He goes after Orton. Triple H throws Punk off. Punk gets back up, sweet chin music, Brian takes out Shawn Michaels, and then a push off into Stephanie McMahon. Triple H takes offense, pedigrees Orton. A lot going on, but I think it's setting up WrestleMania. In that 1 minute, I think they're setting up a WrestleMania, perhaps a return of DX as heels, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, taking on Punk and Brian.
Really?
I think so. I think a lot was going there. And of course, a lot going into the finals because Cena was standing with the power after all that. That's the last thing you saw. So maybe that mythic at this point, Cena heel turn will happen. Who knows? There's so much going on.
You know what?
In that minute,
I didn't even pick up on that, and I'm glad you said that now because I originally.
Well, why
didn't
else? Even... Yeah, but why else would you have of everybody involved in that? You had Great Khali, you had Bret Hart, you had everybody that was in that ring at that. You had Ziggler, you had a ton of people in there. Why were these four guys specifically picked for that moment to leave that image in your mind?
I get that, because I was trying to figure out why CM Punk was getting involved.
I mean, that was the first thing that came to me. I was like, why is Punk going after – why did –
No, I'm glad you picked up on that, because I didn't think anything of it. I thought they just wanted to get involved with it, you know. Like, yeah, I'll do this, you do that.
If you've seen scripts of what a Raw looks like when it's scripted out, everything, every moment is scripted out. That's not just like chaos that you see on the independents. Hey, man, you go here and throw them over. No, it's very scripted, as a television program should be. Who's doing what, and I'm sure that was very thought out, and that was the reason. Even the camera being on Cena standing there, a lot going on and a lot to think about going into this card.
Wow. No, the prospect of WrestleMania now is just, well, you made my night, Dean. I didn't even think of that.
Well, you never know. That's all I'm saying. Now let's talk very briefly about this card. We're running out of time rapidly and already, damn it, 16 minutes past where I wanted to be. But the kickoff is Fandango taking on Ziggler. Where do you guys see that very quickly?
I want Ziggler to go over. I have not given up on Ziggler yet.
I've given up on Fandango, so I'm going with Ziggler.
Let's make it three for Ziggler. And let's see, Cody Rhodes and Goldust, they are defending the titles against Ryback Axel, Big Show and Mysterio, and the Real Americans. That's a fatal four-way tag team title match. Who do you see?
I really want Rhodes and I really want the Rhodes to come on top, so I'm going to go with them.
I'm going to go with Dan.
Let's make it three for three. Big E Langston defending his championship against Damian Sandow. Let me say it first. I think that Langston is retaining
Okay, I'll say it like this real quick. I want Sandow to go over, but I think Langston's going to retain.
And Omega.
Yeah, I'm going to make it three.
There you go. AJ Lee is defending her championship against Natalya. Is it time for Natalya? Yes, saith the Dean of Credibility.
Yes. I agree. Natalya, yes.
Yes, Natalya.
There you go. Daniel Bryan taking on the Wyatt family. We talked about this at length last week. Who do you see going over?
Wyatt family.
Omega?
After this week, maybe Bryan.
I abstain, my vote. Let's go with CM Punk taking on the Shield.
I can't. No, wait a minute. No, I don't care how late we are.
I'm abstaining, man. I'm reserving judgment until Sunday.
Until the match is over. There you go.
Yes, I'm.
No. I picked it 3 seconds before they counted to three.
Yes. CM Punk taking on the Shield. Interesting. I don't know. I think this is just kind of a blow off until Punk's whatever program he'll be in going into Royal Rumble and that sort of thing. I just think it's filler, so I'm going with the Shield here. But then again, you could have the Shield break up. They are certainly pushing that that there's dissension in the ranks, so who knows? Let's go with CM Punk because of dissension in the Shield.
I'm going to go with the Shield unless they break up.
Punk takes out Rollins and Ambrose and then gets pinned by Luther Reigns.
Oh. That is it elimination style?
Is it? I don't know. Just take him out.
I don't know either if it's elimination or not.
I guess it's probably not, but just go. Let's just say tables, ladders, and chairs. He takes him out, but
I got
ultimately
you.
gets pinned by Reigns. So the Shield.
Fair enough. And then of course the big main event. It's unifying the titles. John Cena, the World Heavyweight Champion, taking on Randy Orton, the WWE Champion. Unification. I have heard a few theories. The first theory is that each man will take the other title. Cena will grab the WWE Championship, and Orton will grab the World Heavyweight Championship, and they'll just keep those titles. There won't be a unification. That's what I've heard. I've also heard the theory that Orton will go over. So I'm going to go with Orton.
I'm going to go with Orton.
I'm going to go with Cena.
Oh,
shut up.
Do you think he's going to do that mythic, the unheralded heel turn?
I don't think he's going heel. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some interference in this, though.
So he could be ambiguously aligned with the power.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Shield came out.
Just for
kicks, and then just to make it really ambiguous.
I got you.
This is going to be something to screw it up. It can't just be a clean unification, because that would be, that would be like what we want to see,
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That's why I was thinking that there's some credence to that thought that you may have this unification, each guy grabs the other title. And then you actually do the unification at WrestleMania. I don't know.
Well, that's been so built up now. Everybody's looking for it now. I hope they, if they were thinking that they've decided to turn away from that.
Who knows? Omega, our last bit of business is UFC. They have another big show this Saturday. And it's a weekly occurrence now. Big shows just everywhere. But we have Demetrius Johnson defending his flyweight title against Joseph Benavidez. Mighty Mouse for the win?
I actually do think Mighty Mouse is going to win this one, but he's beat Joseph Benavidez before, but this is Joseph Benavidez post Dwayne Bang Ludwig coming into Team Alpha Male. I expect a better Joseph Benavidez in this fight, but I also expect a better Mighty Mouse. Benavidez really has to try to get to hit Demetrius Johnson very hard and knock him out, get the TKO victory. This is really only hope, because if he can't land the shots, DJ is just going to dance around and decision him and outpoint him for five rounds. I think it's going to be DJ and Vaz.
You know, people, I think, really overlook what DJ has done since winning that flyweight title in the tournament about a year ago, I guess it's been. He's been a very good champion. And he, when you talk about guys with the stamina and with the skills, just a great skill set, nobody's faster than Demetrius Johnson in the UFC.
No.
So, I mean, and the stamina, just because he lives up to the name, Mighty Mouse.
He sets an incredible pace for five rounds. 25 minutes, nonstop.
Yeah. So I'm going with Demetrius Johnson. I don't think that reign... And he's kind of overlooked, and it's kind of sad because he doesn't get the pay-per-views. He gets these fight nights.
This is at least an upgrade from where he was. He was going to be in the Ultimate Fighter 18 finale.
That's true.
So this is at least an upgrade to get on Fox again. So
yeah. And then co-main event, Uriah Faber taking on Michael McDonald. I'm going with Faber. Who do you got?
Faber doesn't lose except in title fights.
I agree.
I think... That being said, Michael McDonald is just as good as Uriah Faber. I think in this case, I've seen people picking McDonald on potential because he's got the youth on his side, and Faber's no spring chicken at 34 anymore. But I've seen Uriah Faber out wrestle and out strike guys too many times except in title fights. So I'm going to pick Faber in three.
Yeah, I can see it going to decision. Although Faber does have a very good submission game, so you just never know how it's going to end, but I'm going with Faber for the win. We also have a featherweight fight, Chad Mendes taking on Nick Lentz. How do you see that one?
Chad Mendes, this is the third Team Alpha Male fighter tonight we've talked about. This is another guy. His only loss is to Jose Aldo. He is a wrecking machine at featherweight. I don't expect this to be a good fight for Nick Lentz. I think this is Mendes is the real deal, and the only one who's been able to solve his particular brand of violence is Jose Aldo. I'm taking Chad Mendes in two, TKO.
I'm going to agree with that. And let's just call it the fight of the night already. Joe Lozon taking on Mac Danzig. What can you really say about this except both guys are really going to go all out in it?
I think that's completely true. You know, Joe Lozon has to come back from his disappointing loss to Michael Johnson in his last fight. Mac Danzig is pretty much fighting for his career right now, certainly his UFC career. He has not had a good run of late, needs a win in really, really badly. He's lost three of his last four, coming off a bad TKO loss to Melvin Guillard. He really needs a win. I don't think J-Lo is the guy to give it to him, though. J-Lo is going to come out, really is going to be motivated. When he's motivated, he puts on a violent show. I think he's going for his whatever 18 millionth fight of the night bonus here. And I think it's going to be J-Lo by submission in the first round.
Yeah, there you go. And one thing I do want to make note of, this entire card, the heaviest weight class that you will see is welterweight, and that's Court McGee against LaFleur. Now, I think that's a great thing that we are seeing here. Where you don't have the higher weight classes, you're going to see some exciting fights. Anything on the Fox Sports 1 preliminary card that you see there?
Well, I mean, I think I'm looking at the Edson Barboza. He's got some spectacular kicks and spectacular knockouts in the UFC, potential for more coming against Danny Castillo in that fight. I also think you're looking at Scott Jorgensen.
Mm-hmm.
He usually puts on a good show as well. I think that's going to be a good fight. The preliminary main event of Court McGee versus Ryan LaFleur, I think the steely veteran is probably going to pull out a decent victory on that one. He usually has good fights. So, you know, even though they've been decisions, we'll see. I'd like to see how that one going. He's going against the Ryan LaFleur, who's 9-0 in his career. So we'll see how he does. But he's making his UFC debut. Well, not his UFC, but he's had two fights in UFC, not against anyone spectacular. So I think Court McGee is going to pull that one out.
All right. So that is, of course, Saturday. Fox Sports. Actually, Fox Sports 1 is the preliminaries, and then it's going to shift over. The main card will be on Fox. The actual network.
The mothership.
Yes, yes. So that's exciting. Busy recap and everything next week should be interesting. As there's Cage of Death, there's WrestleMania, not WrestleMania, but TLC. There's a lot going on. And next week we will be on Thursday on the 19th, not the typical Wednesday.
Thursday.
We will be on Thursday. We will be joined by Bill Bookwater as we look at the year in review for MMA. There's only one big card left after that. Of course, that's the rematch. We'll look ahead to that with Bill. So we have that to talk about. We have a ton of fights to talk about. We're going to catch up with Bill, see what he's been up to lately. So it should be a fun look back at the year in MMA. We only have Weidman and Silva left after that, Omega. So finally, the year is over before we have the 500.
Before we have 50 events in 2014.
And that's not including anything else. There's, 14 events for Legacy next year and
8 for World Series of Fighting.
Oh, God.
However many Invicta has.
Can we just say that World Series of Fighting is a glorified regional? Can we say that now?
We can absolutely say that. I've been saying that for a while.
Okay.
Granted, they are going to be on NBC. Big NBC.
Oh, really?
Twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so huh.
Well, we're going to see Yushin Akami on NBC. I'm sure he will not bore anyone to change the channel.
John Fitch versus Yushin Akami for your snooze tonight.
Oh, my God.
I know they're in different weight classes, but it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. It's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. They're going to get Kimbo Slice back.
Yes.
We'll have that.
Kimbo Slice versus Seth Petruzzelli, too.
I can't wait. Oh, I hate World Series of Fighting so much. It's like I look at all these cards, and like the complete afterthought. Everybody this weekend was, oh, yeah, in World Series of Fighting. Like everybody was talking about either, obviously, UFC. They were talking about all the different cards, and then it's like, oh, yeah, World Series of Fighting has some And I saw Invicta tweeted out to World Series of Fighting tweeted out to Invicta, said, good luck on your show today on Saturday. And Invicta was like, oh, yeah, you guys too. It was just such an awkward conversation, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're on during our pay-per-view.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks so much. Thanks so much. But, of course, make sure you check out Invicta 7. It is on the YouTube for free. It looks pretty good. I got to catch up on that. There's so much to catch up on.
Watch the Tisha Torres fight if you don't watch anything else.
Yeah, you got the whole 4 hours. You got the preliminaries. You got the main card. You got everything right there on the YouTube. Invicta Fights on YouTube. Next week, Bill Bookwater, looking back at the year in review. The following week, we will be here on Christmas to award the Sellies, and like we were saying earlier, Dan, it is really hotly contested, especially that interview of the year. So
no, I can't wait to get to Christmas and see what the final tallies are.
Yes, yes. So we have a lot coming up in the last couple of weeks here, and of course, Dan Severn will return on the 8th of January. The Beast has something to say, and I can't wait to find out what the hell it is. And we're also going to have a night of ultra-violent comedy with Chrissy Rivera and the Reverend Bob Levy on the 15th.
Oh, boy.
I already know that's a rated R episode.
I have somewhere to be.
Yeah. So, on that note, Omega, where can the fine people find you?
Follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
And Dan?
Follow me on Twitter at DanLow83 and Obey Puck Show, Monday nights at 9.
On the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Network, I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also look at that blog. Make sure you go there and vote. Every Tuesday, we have the Indy Power Rankings. So make sure you go there and vote as well on the year-end awards for the Sellies, as we call them. Some great categories there. So, and that's at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can also find the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. The Facebook is Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. We put the links out to each social media website each week, so make sure you go there, check things out, and see what's going on. And until, Dan and Harry will be here for What's Wrong with Wrestling on
Saturday,
the Cage of Death. Yeah,
5:30. We'll do a little Cage of Death mini preview. We remind people to watch it if for some reason they've forgotten, which they shouldn't.
It's really the biggest indie card I've seen this year.
Nah, I might shut him up real quick after and get ready for it.
Yeah, but it's certainly going to be a great card. I'll be there, so I cannot make it to the show. I will be there already asking my questions during a historic Q&A. And I'm sure it will be an interesting experience for all involved. But until then, I'll see you personally next week on Thursday with Bill Bookwater as we look back at MMA, the year in review. And have a good time until then.